Hat, Orion had told her about so many times over the years. Funny how he'd forgotten a few details, like the fact that she was fucking stunning and inhumanly gorgeous. She barely suppressed her anger as a wave of jealousy flew through her. What else had he left out? He better not know her, or else one or both of them were going to be bald later. But that thought scattered as he ignored the blonde and neared her and kissed her cheek. Phoebe smiled at him. Orion's the one who saved me when Mom died. He pulled me from the car after the bomb exploded and hid me. He tried to save Mom and Nia too, but couldn't get to them in time. By her sister's face, she could tell Cassandra didn't know what to think about that. And she couldn't blame her. It didn't make sense that a daemon, let alone one related to Stryker, would help them when all their lives they had been pursued by Orion's kind. Why? There's no time for this, Orion hissed. My father isn't a stupid man. He'll catch on quickly when he doesn't hear from the two dead Apolytes. Phoebe nodded, then turned back to Cassandra. I'm asking you to trust me, Cassie. I swear you won't regret it. Cassandra exchanged frowns with the Dark Hunter and Cat. I think we can trust her. Sasquatch glanced to Orion, then to Cat. You said they were sadistic. Any chance they're playing with our heads? Orion gave a low, bitter laugh at that. You have no idea. Phoebe smacked her husband in the stomach. Behave, Ori. You're not making this any easier. Scowling at her, he rubbed his stomach where she'd hit him, but didn't say anything else. Go for it, Cat said. If he's lying, I know how to hurt him. Her gaze went meaningfully to Phoebe. Orion went ramrod stiff. Destroyer or no, you ever touch her, and I will kill you, Katra. Sasquatch made some kind of Wookiee noise. She half expected him to raise a rifle over his bantha and grr at her. Okay, that was a Tusken Raider, but still. Then we understand each other. Because if anything happens to Cassandra, Kat is the least of your problems. And of course, his being so macho and overbearing only notched her own alpha's testosterone levels into overdrive. So naturally, Orion stepped forward, intending to beat the utter crap out of him, which was the last thing they needed. With a grimace, Phoebe caught her teddy bear and forced him back. You said we have to hurry, she reminded him. She made sure to swipe her finger over his nipple several times to get his attention on something other than murder and mayhem. Luckily for Sasquatch, it worked. Orion's rigid features softened as he looked down at her and nodded. Without another word, he led them toward a black airboat that was already on the ice, waiting for them. The human male climbed on board first, followed by Cat. Cassandra followed suit. Is this the same boat the Canadian Mounties use for search and rescue? The Dark Hunter stiffened, as if the question offended him. Same company mix both, but I'd like to think mine is a bit nicer. Phoebe passed a look to Orion and rolled her eyes. He laughed silently at her. Though to be honest, as she climbed on board the boat, she had to admit that he wasn't really lying. The boat was exceptional, plush to the extreme, right down to the padded chairs. Yeah, Chris said, as he took a seat and strapped himself in. Dudley do right is us. Phoebe scowled as it dawned on her that Orion was still on the dock and didn't appear to have any plans to join them. Surely he wasn't going to stay, not after this. Come with us, Ori, she begged, reaching up to take his hand into hers. They'll slaughter you if they find out about this. The pain on Orion's face as he stared longingly at her made her want to cry. His grip trembled as he held her hand. I can't, baby. You know I can't. I have to stay and cover your tracks, but I promise I'll be in touch as soon as I'm able. He kissed Phoebe passionately, then kissed her hand and let her go. Be safe.
You too.
He nodded, then removed the last bit of harness rigging.
Take care of my wife, Dark Hunter.
Wolf glanced at Phoebe and nodded. Doc Stamon. Orion snorted.
But you never thought you'd utter those words.
Orion raised the doors to knock at the same time a group of daemons broke into the boathouse. Phoebe gasped and ran toward him. She couldn't leave. Well, he was in danger. Oh, God, no! But the weaselly little human pulled her back as the Dark Hunter gunned the engine and flew north over the ice. Luckily, the wind was with them, and they accelerated quickly. No! No! Phoebe shrieked as they sped across the lake. Her heart hammered in denial as terror shredded her. We can't leave him! Though his face was sympathetic, she wasn't fooled for a minute. Like a human or a Dark Hunter would ever care what happened to their kind. We have no choice, the human said. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
Even though her heart was broken, Phoebe didn't cry. Orion had taught her better than that. He was a warrior, battle-born and battle-hardened. As his wife, she would honor his courage and show the same strength he did. So she breathed through her pain and forced herself to stand at the rear of the boat, staring desperately where he'd been, hoping to glimpse some sign of his fate.
You better be okay. I won't forgive you if you die saving me.
Cassandra held on tightly to her seatbelt. Hey, Chris, how fast are we going?
Over 100, at least. These things can move as fast as 140 with the wind, but only about 40 against it.
The blonde moved to stand beside her.
He'll be okay, Phoebe. His father wouldn't really hurt him. Stryker may be psychotic, but he loves Orion.
She didn't believe that for an instant, and Kat was a fool if she did. Damn her husband for his protective ways, and damn her for asking him to do this. Hating herself, she glared at Cassandra, hoping that she didn't live to regret this action. Then she turned to the Dark Hunter.
Keep going north. We have a safe place where we can hide all of you.
2 seconds after those words were spoken, a horrendous shriek sounded above the boat engine, winds and cracking ice. It was followed by the distinct sound of wings flapping. Plugging her sensitive ears, Phoebe looked up and gaped. Holy Katateros, it was a dragon, and not just any dragon. That would be Orion's psycho dad after them.
You better not have eaten my husband.
Oh, my.
Cassandra didn't finish her sentence. She stood there as catatonic as Phoebe felt. Kat threw herself over Cassandra. Stryker shrieked louder, as if frustrated by her actions. Fire blew across the prow of the boat, making Phoebe duck. The Dark Hunter didn't slow down at all. He pulled out his gun and fired up at the beast. Still in dragon form, Stryker dove straight for them, screaming as he came. When the bullets struck him, the dragon recoiled, yet those wounds didn't faze his animal form at all. Stryker continued toward them with a single-minded determination, closer, closer. If anything, it just seemed to piss the creature off. The Dark Hunter reloaded his clip and fired more rounds. Then, just as Phoebe was sure they'd be toast, Stryker vanished. For a full 10 seconds, no one moved. Chris popped his head up like a scared meerkat. What happened?
He must have been recalled, Kat answered.
It's the only thing that could have stopped him like that. The Dark Hunter finally slowed a degree.
Recalled by whom?
The Destroyer, Phoebe said. She won't let him hurt Kat. For reasons no one knew, she was more sacred to Apollyme than anyone.
And just why is that, Kat?
The Dark Hunter asked. Kat appeared uncomfortable with that question.
Like Stryker and one of her servants.
Cassie frowned.
I thought you served Artemis. I serve them both.
Phoebe scoffed at that. No one could serve two pantheons. She knew better. Cassandra tilted her head.
Question. What happens when you have a conflict of interest? Which one of them will you follow then, Kat?
Dawn was coming. Since neither Phoebe nor her enemy was immune to the sun, they had switched the boat for a custom-built, heavily modified Land Rover that Orion had left for them to use. Chris was asleep in the back seat, sitting between her and Kat, with his head on Kat's shoulder, while Kat looked out the window. They had left the boat behind well over an hour ago, and we're now racing for Elysia. How weird to be in this stupid car without Yuri. She'd always thought it odd that he wanted it. He'd never bothered with the human world at all. until her. But since they'd been married, he'd tried to make himself a bit more human to placate her. And though Brayden had insisted she never leave the compound, Shanice had relaxed those orders once he'd taken over as their leader. So 6 years ago, Orion had bought this silly car so that the two of them could go on dates, because she'd made him watch a couple of John Hughes movies with her and had told him that the only thing she really missed about her old life was dating. They'd actually fought over the car.
Oh, you're stupid.
No, Fee. I've been doing research. It's not a date unless you drive somewhere. She'd snorted at the very thought. What? You learned to drive?
Yeah, kind of. Don't you trust me?
With driving? Hell no. Come on. I paid a lot of money for a fake license. I took lessons and everything. Besides, it's more a tank than a car. Nothing can hurt you in it. It's shielded and everything. I made sure of it. I promise you'll have fun. It'll be your best birthday ever.
And it had been. God, she loved that man more than her life. If anything happened to him because of her, she was sick with worry. There was no telling what was going on right now in Colossus. The anger and fury Stryker would have over failing this mission, and Orion, as his prime commander, would bear the brunt of his wrath. Had she chosen her sister's life for her husband? Had she repaid Orion's kindness in saving her life by demanding his own? All he'd ever known from women was betrayal. Now, she might have just given him the worst one yet. Cassandra turned around in the front seat to look at her.
How much longer?
Not much farther, she hoped.
Cassie had the nerve to take Sasquatch's hand.
Will we make it before sunrise?
Phoebe looked away before she slapped them both, which would be a suicidal thing to do since Sasquatch was driving.
It's going to be close.
Then, under her breath, she mumbled,
real close.
Then, when her sister started making goo-goo eyes at Sasquatch, she really feared she might hurl. Luckily, they were nearing the next turn, so she took the opportunity to sit forward in the seat and break that shit up. Wedging herself between them, she pointed to the small trail where there was no road. Turn right there. Sasquatch didn't question it. She'd give him bonus points for that. They crashed through the woods with relative ease, which was something Orion always loved to do. As he so often said about his SUV, drive it like you stole it. The armor plating made it relatively easy to plow straight through smaller trees and travel over the snow, ice, and debris. The only thing missing was her gorgeous Damon's laughter and that wicked grin as he blasted some obnoxious metal music while he slung them all over the woods. God, the weird things her husband did for fun. She sat back and buckled herself in as Sasquatch cut the lights off so that he could see better. While she trusted Orion's driving, she didn't trust Sasquatch at all. The Land Rover bounced over the uneven terrain like a bucking bronco. Chris came awake with a curse. Is Stryker back?
No,
Kat snorted. We had to leave the road. Sasquatch slowed a bit so as not to throw one of the tank tracks that replaced the SUV's tires. They were a lot sturdier in this climate, but were still a fair cry from being infallible, and the last thing they needed was to be stranded out in the open with daylight so close. Just as the sun peaked over the mountains, they broke through the trees and came to the concealed entrance for Elysia. Phoebe let out a relieved breath as she saw Shanice and two counselors standing outside it, waiting. Cassandra hissed and released his hand. It's okay. Phoebe opened her door and ran over to them. She lifted the hood on her jacket to protect herself from the rising sun. Tall and blonde, Shanice stood in the shadows with his companions.
Cunning it close, aren't you?
Don't even. It's been a rough night.
Where's Orion?
She bit back her tears. He's not with us.
He let someone else drive his truck?
Let is a word for it. She gestured at the SUV. He'll die when he finds out it's a Dark Hunter.
Shanice's eyes bugged out, along with those of the two men with him.
Are you out of your fucking mind? You can't bring one of them here. You know better.
We have to let him in.
No, and I mean no. No, 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 all kinds of no.
Shanice?
No, Phoebe, no.
I'll tell Orion.
You don't want me to make that call.
A tick started in his jaw.
You're making it really hard to like you right now.
I know, and I swear, if he does anything wrong, you can kill him. Orion will help. He let out an exasperated sigh.
Fine. But only because it's dawn, and I don't want to burst into flames.
He glared at her.
Damn you!
Believe me, I know. Of all the crappy timing, Sasquatch and Kat picked then to get out of the SUV and head for them. If that weren't bad enough, Sasquatch had his hand on his sword, as if they were the problem here. Yeah, right. God, Dark Hunters and their arrogance. Phoebe glared at Sasquatch. Do you mind, Dark Hunter? She gestured at the sun. We're running out of time. Don't need your attitude right now, but if you hand over your weapons instead of preening like a peacock, it sure would help facilitate things and go a long way in helping me convince my guys that you're not here to kill anyone. And it would allow Cassandra to get to the Appleite doctor who's inside waiting and one who actually knows how to tend an expectant mother in her unique condition. Sasquatch looked over his shoulder at her sister before he gave a subtle nod. His face unreadable, he finally handed over all his weapons without protesting. Grateful to the gods, Phoebe finally let out a relieved breath. Thank you.
You're not welcome.
Ignoring Sasquatch's dig, Phoebe clapped Shanice on the arm while the two councilmen led him inside. Then she and Kat went to get her sister and Chris. The expression on Cassandra's face said that her sister wanted to claw out her eyes for letting them take her large, hairy boyfriend. What's going on? Kat let out a tired breath. They're taking Wolf into custody to make sure he doesn't hurt any of them. Come on, they have a doctor inside waiting for you. Cassandra hesitated as she looked in the direction where they'd vanished. Do you really trust them? I don't know, do you? I trust Phoebe, I think. Kat laughed at that. Phoebe didn't find it funny at all. Cassandra scooted out of the truck and let Kat lead her and Chris into the cave while Phoebe stewed over her sister's response, especially given the fact that it was her husband who just put his life on the line to save them all. How dare they? Ungrateful bastards all. But she managed to be a little compassionate. After all, her sister was pregnant, and she was the last surviving member of her family. Don't be afraid, Cassie. We all know how important you and your baby are. No one here will hurt either of you, I swear it. Who are we? This is an Appleite community. Phoebe led them deeper into the cave, past the hired human contract mercenaries who guarded the entrance during the daylight hours. One of the older ones in North America. Making sure everyone was inside and it was safe, Phoebe placed her hand against the coil stone, where a spring release opened the elevator door. Chris gave an exaggerated gape. Holy hand grenade, Batman, it's a bat cave! Phoebe smirked at the college-aged guy with dark hair who looked like the Dark Hunter's much smaller kid brother. He was actually really cute in a very wholesome, innocent kind of way. Oddly enough, he was growing on Phoebe. Had he not been a squire to her enemy, and if they'd met under another set of circumstances, she could have seen them being friends. He was likable and friendly, even funny at times. Sasquatch, on the other hand, she wanted to stab every time she glanced in his direction, and it took everything she had not to cut his head off. Gah, Cassandra, just... damn. Oh, come on! Chris glanced around at their group like an exuberant kid. Someone other than me has to see the humor in this. He looked around their unamused three faces, then deflated. Guess not. Cassandra entered the elevator first. What about the men I saw outside? Who were they? Phoebe tried her best not to think about the group who'd met them. Those are our ruling council. Nothing can be done here without their direct approval. Kat and Chris joined them. The door to the elevator closed. Are there any daemons here? Chris asked, as Phoebe pressed a button to start the elevator on its long descent to the facility where she lived.
The only daemon in this community is me. They allow me to live here because they owe Orion for his help, so long as I don't draw attention to myself or their existence, I'm allowed to stay.
She waited for one of them to make a nasty comment about that, but wisely, they kept their mouths shut. However, she knew her sister well enough to see the mistrust in Cassandra's eyes. Her sister was afraid of her. So be it. She'd risked everything for Cassie, everything. And she hadn't even had the decency to say, "Thank you. You and your husband might be Damons, but how kind and generous of you to risk your lives for your husband to kill people he considers friends, and for you to hand your throats over so that I and my baby and idiot Dark Hunter Sasquatch can survive tonight." Really, was that too much to ask? A basic, simple thank you? Figured, right? Phoebe had forgotten how selfish her sister could be. When the doors opened, Cassie gasped at something Phoebe had gotten used to long ago. But she remembered the first time Orion had brought her here in 1990. It did look like something out of some science fiction movie. Everything was fashioned like some Isaac Asimov or Larry Niven future city. Made of steel and concrete, the walls were painted with brilliant murals of bright landscapes awash in sunshine that their kind had never seen except in pictures. Orion spent a lot of time when he was here staring at this one piece in particular, and going through her old photos of her with her family, asking her what sunshine felt like. That was when it hurt most, because she was part human. Up until she'd become a Damon, she had some tolerance to sunshine. She couldn't sunbathe or swim, but she could take a few minutes outside without becoming dust. Orion couldn't, and so Phoebe had done her best to make him understand what used to piss her off because she'd never realized how lucky she had it. Not until she met the boy who had never seen daylight at all. To this day, his story about trying to see a glimpse of the sun with his brother Paris brought tears to her eyes. Damn her sister if anything happened to him. Wiping at her eyes, Phoebe stepped out of the elevator into the central area that was roughly the size of a football field. From the center atrium, there were corridors that led to the other areas and centers of the facility. This main part was the hub of Elysia, and held most of their shops and vendors, with the exception of restaurants. Being Appleites, they didn't need any. "The city is named Elysia." Without slowing her gait, Phoebe led them through a handful of residents who had paused to stare at them. "Most of the Appleites here live their entire lives below ground. They've no desire to go topside and see the humans and their violence, nor do they wish to see their kind hunted." Once they'd passed through her people, Chris cleared his throat to get her attention. "What did they do with the Damons?" "No Damons are tolerated here, since they require a steady diet of human or Appleite souls. If an Appleite decides to go Damon, they're allowed to leave, but they can never return here. Ever." Kat arched a brow at that. "Yet you live here. Why?" "I told you, Orion protects them. He was the one who showed them how to build this place." "Why?" Kat pressed. Phoebe stopped and turned to give Kat a measuring stare as she fought the urge to slap her and Cassandra both for their continued mistrust, which was ridiculous at this point. What more did she have to do to prove herself to them? Light herself on fire? "In spite of what you might think of him, my husband is a good man. He only wants what's best for his people." Phoebe's gaze went to Cassandra. "Orion was the first child to ever be born a cursed Appleite. Technically second, since his twin was the firstborn, but close enough. And as psycho as Stryker was, it was a fact that he'd tried his best to keep from Orion for years. He'd even lied to both of his sons about when they were really born, so that they wouldn't know. Until their brother Archie had cruelly told him the truth one day when they'd been fighting as boys. At least I wasn't the first one born cursed, Ori. That tells you how bad even our own grandfather must hate you." The news had hit Orion like a sledgehammer, and he'd never told a soul that he knew the truth. Not until Phoebe. He'd only shared his shame with her. Cassandra gasped.
"That would make him...
over 11,000 years old," Phoebe finished the sentence for her. "Yes, most of the warriors who travel with him are that old. They go back to the very beginning of our history." Chris whistled low
How is that possible?
The Destroyer protects them, Kat said. Just as the Dark Hunters serve Artemis, the true Spathis serve her.
She sighed, as if the conflict pained her just as deeply. Artemis and Apollyme have been at war since day one. The Destroyer is in captivity because Artemis tricked her into it, and she spends all her time plotting Artemis's torture and death. If she ever gets out, Apollyme will destroy her.
Cassandra frowned.
Why does the Destroyer hate Artemis?
Love. Why else?
Kat said simply. Love, hatred, and revenge are the most powerful emotions on Earth. Apollyme wants revenge on Artemis for killing the one thing she loved most in the universe.
And that is?
I would never betray either one by saying it.
Would you write it down?
Chris asked. Kat rolled her eyes. Cassandra and Phoebe shook their heads. Chris scoffed at their reaction.
Oh, yeah, like the two of you weren't thinking the same thing.
No. But Kat's words made her think of Orion's snarky pessimism whenever she made him watch a rom-com instead of the horror movies he preferred.
Love doesn't conquer all. Only a quick sword does that.
And with that thought in mind, Phoebe took them to the residential area. These are apartments. You'll be given a large unit with four bedrooms. Mine is down a separate hallway. I would have liked to have you closer, but this was the only one available that was big enough to accommodate all of you. The last thing Shanice and the others wanted, or would agree to, was the four of them spread out. Not only would it make them harder to guard, it made them harder to watch. This was much easier and safer all the way around. Cassandra hesitated at the door.
Is Wolf already there?
No. He was taken to a holding cell. Aghast, then angry, her sister gaped.
Excuse me?
Phoebe had to ride herd on her own temper. She really wasn't in the mood right then. She would have liked to go and verify the safety of her own husband, who was in a much, much worse situation at the moment than Sasquatch was.
He's our enemy, Cassie. What would you expect us to do? I expect you to release him now.
I can't. Cassandra stopped dead in her tracks. Then show me the door out of here.
Was she fucking kidding?
After everything Orion had gone through for her, after everything they'd risked to save her life, never had Phoebe wanted to hurt someone any more than she wanted to slap her sister right then and there. Cass better be grateful she was pregnant.
What?
You heard me. I will not stay here unless he's welcomed. He has risked his life for me. His home was destroyed because of me, and I will not live comfortably while the father of my baby is treated like a convict.
Someone behind them started clapping. Phoebe looked past her sister to see that Shanice had joined them. Standing at almost 7 feet in height, he was gorgeous and lithe, very graceful, and fast approaching the age when he'd need to find his replacement, because he would be decaying into dust, courtesy of Apollo. He smirked at Cassandra.
Nice speech, princess.
It changes nothing. She narrowed her gaze on him.
Then how about a good ass-kicking?
He laughed at the threat.
You're pregnant.
Not that pregnant. She shot one of the daggers from her wrist at the man. It embedded in the wall just past his head. His face lost all humor, and Phoebe couldn't blame him. She was mortified and embarrassed by her sister's lack of gratitude.
The next one goes into your heart.
Cassie, stop!
Phoebe commanded, grabbing her arm.
Cassandra shrugged her hold off.
No! I've spent the whole of my adulthood putting any daemon or Appellite who made the mistake of coming after me out of his misery. If you think for 1 minute Kat and I can't tear down this place to free Wolf, then you need to think again.
And if you die? The man asked.
Then we all lose.
He gazed at her thoughtfully.
You're bluffing.
Cassandra exchanged a determined look with Kat.
You know I'm always itching for a good fight.
Kat pulled her fighting staff out of her coat pocket and extended it. The man's nostrils flared as he saw them preparing to engage him.
This is how you repay my kindness for sheltering you.
Cassandra lifted her chin like the spoiled, ungrateful little bitch their father had made her.
No! This is how I repay the man who protects me.
I won't see Wolf kept like this after all he's done.
Shanice stepped back and bowed his head respectfully toward her.
She does have the courage of a Spati.
No, she had all the spunk of a brat wanting a cookie, with no care about how it affected anyone else around her, and Phoebe felt her face heat up with her embarrassment. She'd warned them that Cass could be difficult whenever she didn't get her way, so in an effort to be diplomatic, she inclined her head.
I told you so.
Shanice offered them a slight smile. Go inside with Phoebe, princess, and I will have your Dark Hunter brought to you.
Even then, Cassandra eyed him suspiciously.
Promise?
Yes.
Still skeptical, Cassandra looked at Phoebe, who at this point was about at her end with her.
Can I put any faith in that?
Hold me back.
Counting to three, she smiled through her anger. You can. Shanice is our supreme counselor. He never lies. Phoebe, look at me.
Don't take that tone with me, bitch. I'm about to slap you.
Tell me the truth. Are we safe here?
With them?
Yes. I swear it by everything I hold dear, even Orion's life. You are here because Stryker will never think to look in an Appellate commune for you. Every one of us here knows that if your baby dies, so does our world. And our lives, such as they are still precious to us. 27 years to the people here is better than none at all.
But if you don't shut your hole and get in that room so that I can check on my husband, I'm going to beat your ass.
Finally, Cassandra took a deep breath and nodded. Okay. Passing an annoyed look behind her back to Shanice, Phoebe opened the door. Shanice choked on a laugh and excused himself. Furious, Phoebe followed them into their new home. Like all the units here, the main living room was about 500 square feet and had everything a regular human home had. An oversized stuffed sofa and love seat, and an entertainment center complete with television, stereo, and DVD player. Chris headed straight for the entertainment center.
Does that stuff work?
Yes, we have relays and uplinks that can bring the human world down to us. Kat opened the doors to the bedrooms and bathroom, which were off the main living area.
Where's the kitchen?
Phoebe gave her a droll stare for the stupidity of that question.
We don't have kitchens, she reminded her.
But the counselors are working on getting a microwave and refrigerator brought in for you, since you do actually eat, along with groceries. There should be something here very soon for all of you. Since they didn't have phones, Phoebe showed them the small dark green box on an end table. If you need anything, the intercom is here. Just press the button, and one of the operators will help you. If you want to buzz me, tell them you need Orion's wife, and they'll know which Phoebe to put you through to. A knock sounded on the door. Phoebe went to answer it, while Cassandra stood back with Kat and Chris.
What do you guys think?
Chris shrugged.
It seems okay. I'm not picking up any evil vibes. What about you two?
Kat looked around.
I agree with Chris, but there's still a part of me that doesn't trust them.
No offense, Cass, but Appellites aren't known for being honest.
Tell me about it.
Phoebe snorted at that comment, especially given the track record of human honesty. Last article she read said the average person lied 30 times an hour. Average human, 30 times an hour. Didn't speak well for what a pathological or unaverage human did it. And they dared to call Appellites dishonest.
Yeah.
Irritated to the extreme, Phoebe exchanged a peeved smirk with Dr. Lacus, who was even in height to her and dressed in a light pink sweater and jeans. Since she was on duty, she had her shoulder-length blonde hair pulled up into a loose bun. Lucky for her sister, Dr. Lacus was better at hiding her irritation.
Cassandra?
She waited for Cass to look at her.
I'm Dr. Lacus.
She extended her hand to Cassandra. If you don't mind, I would like to examine you and see how the baby is doing. The two of them headed off. Phoebe took a moment to check in with Kat and Chris.
You two need anything?
Katra cocked her head at her.
Stryker's not going to hurt Orion.
Why are you so worried? Phoebe let out a bitter laugh.
You don't know him at all, do you?
I've known them both a lot longer than you have.
Then you should know how violent Stryker gets and how often he lashes out.
Kat passed a smug look to Chris, but not against Orion.
Really? On the night Orion left his brother, who was a trained soldier, to save the life of a blind Apollite woman and her children, his father almost beat him to death. But for Apollome's intervention, he probably would have.
Kat gaped.
He told you this?
No. A friend of his did, as a warning to me, to never make the mistake of putting him in the crosshairs of his father's wrath. He wanted to stress to me that while Orion constantly assures me that he's okay and that everything will be all right, Orion is not okay. And he's playing an extremely stupid game with his life. For me.
Damn it! How did they get to that boat?
With his arms crossed over his chest, Orion stood in the council room stoically and listened to his father's tirade, which had to be a record for the longest rant ever. He would yawn, but in the mood his father was in, he'd probably cut his throat.
Orion!
He snapped his head up.
Sir! How did they get past you?
No idea. I was in the boathouse, checked on Jason and Brian.
They were fine at the time, went outside because they said they heard something, then Tratis was calling for assistance around front, so I headed that way. Next thing I knew, you were screaming that they were in a boat.
You didn't see anything.
I couldn't pick up any smells because of the gunpowder residue. My hearing was shot from the explosion, same for my vision. My ears are still ringing.
His father curled his lip. I'm disgusted by all of you. Get out of my sight!
Relieved to have an end to that and still be in one piece, Orion exchanged a sideways glance with Davin, but neither of them dared to speak until they were clear of his father's hearing. Davin let out a long, slow breath.
Damn, Ori. I know.
Hold me?
Orion laughed before he pulled Davin into his arms and gave him a hug.
Better?
No.
You scared the shit out of me. Between that and your father? I don't think I'll ever be the same.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you, brother.
Glad someone does.
Orion kissed his cheek before he released him. Did everything go okay?
Not really, but I made do. How about on your end?
Not really, but I made do.
His gaze fell to the necklace around Davin's neck. Paris's. Davin looked down at it and touched it.
I still can't believe he's gone.
I know.
Seems like yesterday. Not 70 years. He nodded.
He'd kick your ass if he knew you helped the Dark Hunter.
Yeah, he would. Stab me himself.
Davin snorted.
I should do it for him.
I should probably help you. If I had any sense, I would.
Orion!
His father shouted. Now there was a tone to make even Ares drop a load. Davin turned a shade paler.
Glad I'm not you,
he whispered before he headed off down the hall. Resigned to whatever ass-crawling was about to manifest, Orion headed back toward his father's office and opened the door.
You rang, my lord and tormentor?
Don't get cheeky with me, Pito. I'm not in the mood. Come in and shut the door behind you.
Orion obeyed.
I think we have a traitor in our midst.
Those words sent a slice of fear down his spine.
Why?
I keep running over everything that's happened. It's the only explanation for how the heiress keeps eluding us. Someone has to be helping her.
Orion kept himself completely still as the hair on the back of his neck began to crawl with guilt.
What do you want me to do, Solrin?
You know what I want. The head of the traitor. I want you to find whoever it is and gut them.
Orion sighed. Solrin, have you ever considered that the words of the Oracle could have been a game sent by the gods to make you destroy yourself, like Oedipus?
It was by trying to avert his fate that King Laius caused his own death, and the same for Oedipus. Had either king not tried to stop their fate, they wouldn't have taken the very actions that caused it.
You're not making any sense.
Sure I am, Solrin. Think about it. We are our own worst enemies.
It's by our own actions we're destroyed.
And by the sword the knot was undone.
Pardon?
The Gordian knot. Even the most complex and unsolvable problem can have a simple solution if you apply enough brute force to it.
I don't think that's what that means, Solrin.
Of course it is. Don't you dare argue with me.
Orion held his hands up in surrender. He wasn't about to argue philosophy when his father was in a mood this foul and armed.
When was the last time you took a soul, Solrin?
Why are you asking?
Thinking you're a little peckish. You might want to feed soon. Take the edge off.
Fine. Bring me the heiress, and I'll be thrilled to feed on her and her unborn child.
Orion snapped his fingers. I will see about that pronto. Anything else I can do for you? He growled like a lion. Orion left immediately, and almost collided with Sabine, Apollyme's favorite Caronte, since Zedrix had gone missing a few weeks back.
The goddess summons you?
Weird that she'd sent her demon. Normally, she just screamed in his head. Scowling, he followed the orange-fleshed demon back to Apollyme's garden, where the goddess was not at the pool, but out in the orchard, where the rowan trees and black roses grew. Seriously concerned now, Orion approached with a great deal of caution.
You summoned me, Akra.
She handed the rose she'd just cut to the demon beside her so that he could add it to the basket in his hands.
You should be honest with your father, Orion.
Beg pardon?
You heard me. Lies are unbecoming for one such as you, and I've allowed yours to go on for way too long now. I kept thinking that you'd come clean with him. It bothers me to see Starkyrius so upset. He's gutted 3 innocent men tonight in his rage.
Orion glanced to the demon behind her, not quite sure what to say to that. Apollyme turned toward him with a biting stare.
Just like when you visited with Saraxen and she violated my sacred pact to keep her cove private from all.
Akra,
not a word, Orion. The bitterest truth is better than the sweetest lie. Your father deserves to hear it from you and not another. Sooner or later, the truth will come out. It always does, no matter how hard you strive to keep it hidden. It will crawl its way to the surface, and those who have been lied to will turn on you with a vengeance unimaginable. Because with it comes a righteous fury fueled by betrayal. They trusted you. And trust is a sacred thing not to be abused. Of all people, you know this. And those so abused will demand an accounting. And they will rise up and demand blood for appeasement. Then you won't be able to lie your way out. It will be too late for words to save you. Do you understand?
He understood, but it wasn't that simple. His father would demand Phoebe's life and that of Cassandra. How could he choose between them?
Have you ever had to choose between 2 things you loved most, Akra?
A deep, dark, and bitter sadness burned in her eyes. It was so heart-wrenching that in that moment, he knew that she was well aware of what she was asking from him.
I have.
Do you regret the decision you made?
Every day of my life.
March 12th, 2004. Phoebe was in tears. She'd been trying to be strong and hide them, but this silence was shredding her. Closing the door to her apartment, she felt someone standing right behind her.
What's wrong, Agapemue?
Did the Muppet offend you? I'll rip out his tongue if he did.
Her breath left her with a rush as she recognized Orion's thick accent and then realized that he'd already lit candles for them all around her room. Turning, she threw herself against him and rained kisses all over his face and neck.
I thought you were dead,
he tisked at her. You know me better than that.
I just had to wait for it to calm a little.
She was already peeling his clothes off his body. Laughing, he helped her with his powers.
Take it you're hungry? Starving. And not just for blood and soul. Se harriet som.
Orion's eyes widened as she said, "I need you," in Greek. In all this time, she'd only picked up a word here or there. Never had she ever said a whole phrase before.
"You must have missed me."
More than you can imagine, she sank her fangs into his neck and sent him reeling. Orion barely made it to the couch with her. She was absolutely wild tonight, so much so that she immediately slid herself onto him and took control with wanton abandon. She ravaged his neck and tore at his arms and chest with her nails as she rode him with fury. There was a strange kind of pleasure with the pain, while his head spun from her insistent hunger. Her emotions overrode his until he lost himself completely. He lost all sense of time as her body milked his, and all he felt was Phoebe. He didn't care about anything or anyone else. His life began and ended with her. Suddenly, the door slid open. Phoebe jerked up, clutching at Orion, who was too weak to even turn his head to see who was there. The door closed again. Panting and weak, Orion tried to focus his gaze. "Who's that?"
"My sister,"
she hissed, climbing off him to rush to the bathroom. Orion attempted to get up and go after her, but he fell back onto the sofa.
"I'm gonna wait here."
If Phoebe heard, she didn't pause or say anything. She merely ran out of the apartment to catch up to her sister. After a few seconds, she came back in and sat down primly by his side.
"You okay?"
"That was embarrassing."
"Let me guess. Your sister and Muppet had a little PMS meltdown over what they saw."
"I call him Sasquatch, but yes, they did."
He laughed. "Remind me later to kill him. And I won't be calling him Sasquatch."
"Why? I think it's quite fitting."
Orion scoffed. "Not really. That implies he's intimidating and scary. Trust me, he's not."
"Maybe not to your hulking, almost 7 foot tall ass he isn't, but from my vantage point, he's terrifying."
He snorted, "Trust me. Don't feed Muppet's ego. If it gets any bigger, we're gonna have to put in for a larger apartment for them. I think it's why his mansion was so big. They needed it just to house his inflated self-image."
Phoebe laughed, until they heard a loud commotion from outside.
"Ah, shit."
Orion used his powers to summon clothes. Without being told, he knew Wolf had pissed off the natives and trouble was brewing. Because out there was the sound of hell's wrath, and only a dark hunter in the middle of an Appalachian commune could cause that much ruckus. Teleporting into the middle of it, Orion took 1 second to get the lay of the drama before he grabbed Wolf and inserted himself between the dark hunter and the Appalachian who wanted his head. Still weak from Phoebe's feeding, he kept one hand on each of them to make sure they kept a safe distance from each other.
"Enough!"
Orion roared at the two of them. Wolf frowned.
"Are you all right?"
"Not really."
He felt rather queasy, and he definitely didn't need this shit. Orion released both men. The Appalite was taken off by some of Shanice's watchmen, but he cast a parting malevolent glare at them. Grateful it was over, he wiped a hand over his sweat-covered brow.
"You need to stay out of sight, Dark Hunter.
You really don't look good. Do you need something?"
Orion shook his head to clear it.
"I just need to rest for a while."
He curled his lip at Wolf.
"Can you stay out of trouble long enough for that?"
"Ori?"
Phoebe came up behind him and placed her hand on his forehead. "Did I take too much, baby?" Wanting to reassure her, Orion pulled her against his side and kissed her cheek.
"No, love, I'm just tired.
I'll be fine." He pulled away and had just started back for their apartment when his legs buckled.
"Bullshit!"
Much to Orion's absolute horror, the Muppet came up and slung his arm over his shoulder to help him back to Wolf's apartment.
"What are you doing?" Orion asked angrily.
"I'm taking you to Kat before you pass out."
Orion hissed at the very thought of being with her.
"Why? She hates me."
Artemis's handmaiden was more likely to gut him than help him.
"So do I, but we both owe you."
Chris and Kat sat on the floor playing cards when they entered. Kat shot to her feet as soon as she saw Orion's condition.
"Oh, jeez, what happened?"
Phoebe rushed in behind them.
"I think I took too much blood from him."
Wolf laid Orion down on the couch.
"Can you help him, Kat?"
Kat pushed Wolf out of the way. She held up 2 fingers in front of Orion's face.
"How many fingers do you see?"
Sex.
She popped him on the side. Stop that. This is serious. Orion widened his eyes and tried to focus his gaze on her hand.
Three, I think.
Kat shook her head. We'll be back. Cassandra watched in awe as Kat flashed them out of the room. Now, why didn't she do that when we were being chased by Stryker? Chris asked. Phoebe scoffed at the clueless human. She's taking him to Colossus, Chris. I doubt any of you want to go into a realm ruled by nothing but spotty demons and one really pissed off ancient goddess who is bent on destroying the entire world. He nodded like a clucking chicken. You know, I really like it here. Not to mention, I can now look at Kat's hand. He picked up her cards and cursed. I should have known she wasn't bluffing. Her face turning bright pink, Cassandra moved closer to her. I'm so sorry I interrupted you two. Please don't be... I mean, don't make it a habit, mind you, but if you hadn't come in, I might have killed him. He has a bad tendency to not tell me when I've taken too much blood. It scares me sometimes. Actually, it scared her a lot, as she wondered if Orion didn't have a death wish. There was something about him, a darkness inside that she'd catch a glimpse of from time to time that never quite went away. Whenever she asked about it, he'd tell her that she was imagining things, but she knew what she saw. He'd lived a long time and lost a lot of people he cared about. That kind of tragedy left its mark. Whether he owned up to it or not, her husband was very shattered. Wolf crossed his arms over his chest. So daemons can die from blood loss. Phoebe gave him an arched stare. Are you planning on using that against us? Wolf shook his head. I'd rather die myself than suck on another man's neck. That's disgusting. Besides, didn't you tell me that's how Apolytes can be changed to daemons? It begs the question of whether a Dark Hunter could be made a daemon, too. Yeah, but DH blood is poisonous to them, Chris shuffled the deck of cards. Isn't the point of that so that no daemon can feed off or convert you guys? Perhaps. Phoebe watched Chris cut the deck again. But then disembodied souls can possess a Dark Hunter, and since Uri and I share souls, it makes you wonder if perhaps a daemon and Dark Hunter could share one too. Let's hope we never find that one out. Wolf moved to sit on the couch in front of Chris. Phoebe turned back toward Cassandra. So what did you want when you came to see me? I've been putting together a memory box for the baby. Notes and pictures from me, little mementos to tell him about our people and family after I'm gone, and I was wondering if you would mind putting something in there from you. Why do you need something like that when we'll be more than happy to tell him anything he wants to know? Cassandra hesitated, as if there were something she didn't want to tell her. She glanced to Sasquatch before she answered. He can't grow up here, Fee. He'll have to be with Wolf in the human world. Phoebe ground her teeth at that. Of course, leave it to Cassie to be prejudiced against her own people. Why can't he grow up here? We can protect him just as well as Wolf, probably more so. At least they wouldn't hate him for being part Apolyte. Wolf glanced up as Chris dealt him a hand of cards. What if he's more human than even Cassandra is? Would he be safe here? Phoebe hesitated. He should be, but... There were some Apolytes who had a lot of problems with humans. Even as long as she'd been here, she still had trouble with a few once they learned her father was human. And she was grateful that at least they didn't tie each other to stakes anymore and set fire to them. At least, not often. Wolf gave Phoebe a meaningful stare. I can protect him and his children a lot easier than you can. I think the temptation of having a human soul here would be way too much for some of your people to handle, especially given how much they hate the Dark Hunters. What a coup. Kill my son, get a human soul, and get revenge on the very thing all of you despise most? Phoebe nodded. I suppose you're right. She took Cassandra's hand. Yes. I would like to add some things to the box for him. and Phoebe knew exactly what she wanted her nephew to have. So after she wrote her note, she excused herself and went to get her present for Cassandra's box. She returned to her sister's apartment a short time later with the book. Cassandra looked up with a frown as Phoebe slid it into the keepsake box Cassie still had out on the couch next to her. "What's this?" Phoebe gave her a wicked grin. "It's a book of Appleite fairy tales. Remember the one Mom used to read to us when we were kids? Donita sells them in her shop, so I went just now and bought one for the baby." With suspicious eyes, Wolf picked the book up and flipped through it.
"Hey, Chris,"
he handed it to his squire.
"You read Greek, right?"
"Yeah."
"What's in here?"
Chris started reading silently, then burst out laughing. "I don't know if you want the baby to see this if you're the one raising him."
"Let me guess,"
Wolf glared at Phoebe.
"He'll have nightmares that Daddy is going to hunt him down and rip his head off."
"Pretty much. I'm particularly fond of the one called Acheron the Great Evil." Chris paused as he turned to another story. "Ooh, wait, you'll love this one. They've got the story of the nasty Nordic Dark Hunter. Remember the story with the witch and the oven? This one features you with a furnace."
"Phoebe."
Sasquatch's glare turned to murder. She blinked innocently. "What? That's our heritage. It's not like you guys don't swap stories on Andy the evil Appleite or Daniel the killer Damon. You know, I see human movies and read their books too. They're not exactly nice to my people." Wolf scoffed.
"Yeah, well, your people happen to be soul-sucking demons."
Crossing her arms over her chest, Phoebe cocked her head with attitude. "You ever met a banker or a lawyer? Tell me who's worse, my Orion or one of them? At least we need the food. They do it just for profit margins." Cassandra laughed at their bantering, then took the book from Chris's hands. "I appreciate the thought, Phoebe, but could we find a book that doesn't paint the Dark Hunters as Satan?" "I don't think one exists. If it does, I've never seen it."
"Great," Sasquatch picked up another card. "Just great. My poor son's going to have nightmares all of his childhood."
"Trust me," Chris said as he upped his bet against Wolf. "That book's gonna be the least of your kid's problems with you as his father." Cassie frowned. "What do you mean?" Chris put his cards down and met her gaze. "You do know that as a small child, they actually carried me around on a pillow? I had a custom-made helmet that I had to wear until I was 4. Sasquatch scratched at his beard.
"That was because you banged your head every time you got angry. I was afraid you were going to get brain damage from it."
Chris snorted. "The brain is fine. It's my ego and social life that's in the toilet. I shudder at what you're going to do to that poor kid." He dropped his voice and imitated Wolf's lilting Nordic accent.
"Don't move. You might get bruised. Oops, a sneeze. Better call in specialists from Belgium. Headache. Oh, then forbid it might be a tumor. Quick, rush him for a CAT scan."
Wolf shoved his shoulder playfully.
"And yet you live."
"Ever the better to procreate for you." Chris met Cassandra's gaze.
"It's a hell of a life."
Then Chris dropped his gaze as if he was thinking about that for a minute. "But there are worse ones out there." He was right about that. Phoebe sighed as she wondered about Orion and what he was doing. Katra waited outside Orion's bedroom until Davin came outside to meet her.
"Is he all right?"
"He will be, but that was very close." She let out a long sigh. "Yeah, I've never seen him like that. Didn't know he could get weak."
"Me neither."
She glanced to the closed door. "Do I want to know what you did to fix him?" With grim expression, Davin shook his head.
"You wouldn't approve."
"Pardon the pun. Sucks to be a daemon."
"You have no idea, believe me. It's not something we enjoy. There's not a one of us who wouldn't give our souls to change it."
Kat saw the truth in his dark eyes, and oddly enough, she saw Davin's gentle soul and his guilt.
"I'm sorry."
"No,
Kat, that's an empty sentiment. You really don't get what your uncle did to us.
Pardon?
I know who and what you are. Orion doesn't. Panic filled her. How? Davin laughed. I see and hear a lot more than anyone credits me with, and I'm not as dumb as everyone thinks. I've seen Artemis. You look just like her, right down to the eye color. Given that, I figure you have to be related to Apollomy's son in order for her to tolerate you to live. Never mind come and go here whenever you like. Katra's jaw dropped. You've never told him. Of secret things? I am silence. The Bhagavad Gita? Davin shrugged. I read a lot of things. The door behind him opened to show Urien, looking a lot better. His deep, tawny skin had a healthy glow, his eyes were bright, and for once he wore his long blonde hair down around his shoulders. She would give Phoebe credit. Her husband was extremely gorgeous. Dressed black on black, there wasn't much difference between Urien and a Dark Hunter. You look like you ate someone who agreed with you. Orion wasn't amused with her joke. Ha ha, Katra, do you have any real reason to be here, or are you just wanting to piss me off? I was making sure you lived. Sorry I cared. I'm not sorry you cared. I am sorry you feel the need to nettle. Sighing, he met Davin's gaze. Thank you, brother.
You know I love you.
You too. Aww! Kat threw herself against them both and hugged them close. It's a Daemon love fest! Urien screwed his face up. Gah! I'm getting Olympian cooties. Someone call an exterminator, better yet a Karanti. Snorting, Kat pulled away. Fine. I'm heading back, see you later. Urien took a minute to talk to Davin. I got rid of the body.
Thanks.
When he started to leave, Davin stopped him.
Ori, it's none of my business, but you know that's not normal, right?
It wasn't her fault. I picked a particularly nasty asshole to feed on, and it affected her. You were lucky. Paris was particular about the souls he took. To keep you safe, he preyed on gentle ones so that you wouldn't have to listen to them screaming as much.
Davin looked away, shamefaced at a secret they'd all kept from him.
Paris had been the only one of them who had taken the lives of women and weaker humans so as not to risk Davin going Threlos.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize that until he was gone, and I had to pick my own meals.
And it made a big difference. Orion was used to feeding himself only because he'd been doing it for so long, the voices had become part of him. He could ignore them most of the time. Phoebe was still adjusting. And when they were dying, they were louder and worse, especially the strong ones. She was still getting used to all that. He'd considered going after a weaker human, but he just couldn't make himself do it. His warrior's code was too strong. It wasn't in him to prey on someone weaker. There was no honor in that. He smiled at Davin.
I'll be more careful with her in the future. What if she goes Threlos?
She won't. She's part human.
A human who almost killed you tonight?
Orion shook his head. My stupidity almost killed me tonight, not Phoebe.
I've got this.
Davin scoffed as Orion headed off. And the last words he heard him say were ominous indeed.
Strange. Those were the last words Paris said.
It was just after midnight when Urien returned to the Muppet's apartment to collect his wife. Phoebe smiled as he neared her. Wolf didn't. In fact, the tension between the two of them was fierce. What's the matter, Dark Hunter? Urien couldn't resist taunting as he draped his arm around Phoebe's shoulders. You were hoping I'd succumb?
No.
I was just wondering who you killed to reclaim your health.
Orion snorted.
I'm sure the cows you eat aren't exactly thrilled by their slaughter either.
They're not people.
In case you haven't noticed, Dark Hunter, there are a lot of people out there who aren't human either. Taking Phoebe's hand, Orion led her toward the door. Come on, Fee. I don't have much time before I have to return to Colossus, and I don't want to spend it with my enemies. He took her back to their apartment.
Phoebe watched him carefully. Are you sure you're all right?
Other than hacked off, yeah.
I'm good. Orion turned toward her. What about you?
I have a headache, but other than that, I'm fine.
A headache? That didn't bode well.
Orion tried not to let Davin's words infect his mind and panic him. Phoebe was fine. She was. She wasn't going trelos. His father wasn't going nuts, and he wasn't playing with fire. Everything would be fine.
Yeah, he didn't believe it either.
March 19th, 2004. Since Orion was supposed to be the sponsor for this godforsaken event, he opened the door to collect his sister-in-law. At the request of his wife and Cassandra, he'd worn his long blonde hair down around his shoulders, and he was dressed in an elegant black silk tuxedo. He didn't know what it was about women that they liked his hair down, but whatever. If it made Phoebe happy and got him laid, he'd oblige her. Are you ready? He asked Cassandra. Standing in the bedroom, she was dressed in her wedding gown, with her long, strawberry blonde hair down around her shoulders. She wore a silver crown intertwined with fresh flowers. She fidgeted with her hem. Is Wolf ready? He nodded. He and Chris are waiting for you in the main complex. Kat handed her the single white rose that was wrapped with red and white ribbons. Cassandra took the rose. Phoebe and Kat took their places in front and led the way. Orion came into the room to offer Cassandra his arm so that they could walk behind them. For some odd reason, Cass had wanted the wedding outside, but after much laughter and refusal, they'd finally rented the open merchant area. Shanice and several council members had gone out of their way to bring hydroponic plants and flowers to simulate a garden center. They'd even constructed a small fountain. Cassandra hesitated as they entered the complex. Orion arched a brow at that. Given how pregnant she was, he hoped she wasn't getting cold feet.
I'll take it from here.
Orion inclined his head to his father-in-law, whom he had yet to meet, but Phoebe had warned him he'd be here for the event. Cassandra gasped, Daddy?
You didn't really think I'd miss my baby getting married, did you?
But how?
He indicated Wolf with a nod. Wolf came to the house last night and brought me here. He said it wouldn't be a wedding for you unless I came, and he told me about Phoebe. I spent last night in her apartment with her so that we could catch up and then surprise you. His eyes teared up as he stared at her stomach.
You look beautiful, baby.
She threw herself into his arms, or at least as close to that as she could, given her distended belly, and held him tight.
Should we call the wedding off before you drown us in tears?
Kat asked.
No.
Cassandra pulled herself together with a sniff.
I'm fine. Really.
Her father kissed her cheek, tucked her hand into the crook of his arm, and led her to Wolf. Kat and Phoebe moved to stand behind Chris while Orion took his place by Phoebe's side. The only other person present was Shanice, who stood back but watched them with a friendly expression that said he was more than happy to bear witness to the event. Orion kissed Phoebe's hand as he remembered marrying her, and he hated that she hadn't had her father present for their wedding. To her credit, she didn't say a word about it, as her father wrapped the ribbons around Cassandra's and Wolf's hands. Once he was done, their father began speaking the words to bind them together.
It is through the night that we are
light,
Orion whispered loudly, interrupting him. His father's face flushed a bit.
I'm sorry, I had to learn this rather hastily.
He cleared his throat and began again.
It is through the light that we are born, and through,
her father hesitated, amused by the fact that their human father was completely clueless. Orion came forward and whispered in his ear.
Thank you,
Mr. Peters said. This ceremony is nothing like ours. Orion inclined his head and stepped back, but not before he gave Cassandra a wink to let her know he had her back. It is through the light that we are born, and through the night that we travel. The light is the love of our parents, who greet us and welcome us into the world, and it is with the love of our partner that we leave it. Wolf and Cassandra have chosen to be with each other, to ease their remaining journey, and to comfort one another in the coming nights. And when the final night is upon them... Her father stopped, as he teared up again. Ah, oh, good grief, if this kept up, Cassandra's baby would be born and graduate before they got to the end of it.
I can't, he said quietly.
Daddy? Her father stepped back as a tear fell down his cheek. Phoebe rushed forward and wrapped her arms around him. Cassandra started for him, but Phoebe stopped her.
Finish it, please, Ori?
Phoebe escorted their father off to the side.
Great. He'd rather be denutted.
Sighing, Orion moved to stand with them and marry his worst enemy to his wife's sister.
Someone kill me now.
When the final night is upon us, we vow to stand together and ease the one who travels first. Soul to soul we have breathed, flesh to flesh we have touched, and it is alone that we must leave this existence. Until the night comes that the fates decree we are reunited. In Oranli.
Great. Now Cassandra was starting to cry.
Orion stepped to the pedestal that held the same gold cup he'd used to marry Phoebe. He brought it over to Cassandra. Normally, this would be the blood of both of you combined, but since neither one of you is particularly gung-ho for that, it's wine. He handed the cup to Cassandra, who took a sip, and then gave it to Wolf, who followed suit. Wolf handed the cup to Orion. As was the Appellite custom, Wolf bent down and kissed her, so that the taste of wine was mingled with them. Orion returned the cup to the pedestal and finished the ceremony. Here stands the bride, Cassandra. She is unique in this world. Her beauty, grace, and charms are the legacy of those who have come before her and will be gifted to those who are born through her. This man, Wolf, on the other hand, stands before us as a product of... Frowning, Orion paused. Well, he's a product of a bitch who can't stand the thought of Apollo's children ruling the Earth.
Orion, behave!
Phoebe snapped. He bristled at her command. Considering the fact that I just bound a member of my family to one of the people I have sworn to annihilate, I think I'm being remarkably good. Phoebe cast him a glare that loudly proclaimed he'd be sleeping alone for at least a week, maybe longer. Orion curled his lip at Wolf. You utter Muppet bastard. Fine. I'm glad I didn't say what I really thought, he muttered under his breath. Louder, Orion returned to the ceremony. It is your similarities that brought you together, and your differences that add variety and spark to your life. May the gods bless and protect your union, and may you be... He paused again. Well, you already are blessed with fertility, so we'll skip that. Phoebe growled low in her throat. Orion cast another murderous glare at Wolf. May the two of you enjoy every minute left to you. Then Orion tied the ribbons into a double knot, although he would rather have knotted them around Muppet's throat. Chris and Kat led the way back to the apartment. As soon as they could, Orion and Phoebe left with her father in tow, which made for an awkward silence, as her father treated him more like a bad lab experiment. It didn't matter that he'd saved both of Jefferson's daughters. This man just continued to treat him like shit. I don't bite.
Sorry. It's just I've heard so much about daemons from my wife and daughters, but... You're the first one I've ever met.
It's okay, I get it. Kind of like human kindness and compassion. I've heard of such mythical beasts, but I have yet to encounter them personally. Keep hoping to, though. Orion decided to leave Phoebe alone with her father and let them catch up. But as he walked around the underground city, he kept having the strangest premonition. He saw himself in the past. Alone. And he heard someone weeping, but he didn't know who. It was so strange.
But not as strange as him being here tonight, the son of Stryker, who had been tagged to annihilate Phoebe and her bloodline. Now being the very one who'd married Cassandra to Wolf, his enemy, so that they could safeguard that bloodline for all time. Apollyme was right. It was the ultimate betrayal. He was his father's right hand, the only one Stryker trusted, and tonight, he just stabbed his father in the heart. May 24th, 2004. Your father has lost his mind. That was an understatement. Ever since Cassandra had birthed her son, Eric, his father had been spiraling out of control with an insane need to kill the two of them. Raking his hands through his hair, Orion was at a loss on how to deal with the man. In all these centuries past, he'd never seen him quite like this. I don't know, Tav. Has he gone, Trelos? I was about to ask you that. That would be his best guess. It would make the most sense. He was definitely acting like an utter lunatic.
Orion!
Davin sighed. I am so glad I'm not his son. Way to have my back. Yeah, well, I'd rather have your ass. Not funny. Davin held his hand up with his fingers pinched together. I'm a little funny.
Orion!
He teleported into his father's office. You rang down the temple? His father gave him a cold, murderous glare.
Don't even. Are you aware that the bastard Dante Pontus killed our informant?
Orion gaped. Dante murdered his own brother? Damn. That's cold even for a Katagari ware.
Do we have anyone else in his club we can call on?
Orion scratched at his neck as he considered his sources. Not really. And probably not after that kind of tantrum. Pretty sure anyone who might be bought would have a serious sphincter clench after that. His father moved to stand in his face.
I want a spy, Orion. Find me one.
Yes, sir. Orion stepped back and spun on his heel to put as much distance as he could between him and crazy. Because as much as he loved his father, this was nuts. And in case it was contagious, he didn't want it to jump on him. Letting out a deep breath, he left the hall and tried to think of whom he could call in to try to get information. The wares, as a rule, were always a bit shaky. They had to tread a fine line between daemons and dark hunters, and because of that, their loyalty couldn't always be trusted or relied upon. Some had been known to hand them over without a second thought, if they thought it could buy them favor with Asheron or Savitar. Orion racked his three brain cells. A shadow moved to his right as a couple of daemons headed toward their home for a feeding. Strangely, that gave him an idea. Teleporting to the nebulous no man's land that hovered between the realms, he went to find the one creature who could walk just about any place he wanted to. Shadow?
No.
Orion snorted at the gruff, disembodied voice. No what?
Whatever it is you're selling, I don't want it. Take your ass and go.
Come on, don't be that way. Winds whistled in his ears. The shadows beside him solidified into a man who eyed him with malice as he crossed his arms over his chest and tisked. Just above average height and well-built, Shadow had eyes of steel, and like his very soul, his shoulder-length hair that he wore pulled back into a short ponytail was neither light nor dark, but strands of varying shades that were trapped squarely between his two dueling natures. The demon was fearless, as a rule, hence his personal motto, that he feared no evil, for he was the most evil thing that stalked the darkness and called the deadliest night home. Good to see you, Shay.
No, it isn't. And I'm not your fucking date. What do you want, asshole?
Orion smirked. Really? Do we need all the profanity? What you call an overuse of profanity, I call sentence enhances. Of course you do. Orion shook his head. I lost my spy at the Inferno, and I could really use someone else. He burst out laughing. Are you fucking crazy?
Hey, Shadow, long time no see. Got a dude killed. Could you go replace him?
Because I don't like you at all, which is why we haven't talked in a few centuries, so if you die, I don't really give a shit. He pursed his lips. Gee, thanks, Damon.
Orion had forgotten just how sarcastic Shadow could be. The reason I'm here is because you have a unique skill set.
Yeah, I keep out of other people's shit. You know, no soweth of the discord among the brethren. My feet do not head to mischief. They're quite happy here at home.
Shay,
Ori,
he mocked.
No.
Please. That only works if you're a grown female, naked and in my bed or writhing on top of me. And brother, you're none of those.
You really won't help me. A tick started in Shadow's jaw.
Maybe. But only if I get bored with reruns, have no more belly lint to pick, and something causes me even more brain damage than I already have. Maybe, just maybe, I might do it. So, what is it?
Closing his eyes, Shadow lifted his crossed fingers and said under his breath,
"Please, let it be spy on a hot woman in her underwear."
Orion slapped him in the chest. "You're such a fucking pervert."
"The hell I am. You know, I could do that at any time I wanted. And notice that I never have? That makes me a saint."
Orion rolled his eyes.
"Find out what Wolf Tryggvason is up to for me. That burly Viking dark hunter bastard."
"Yeah."
He screwed his face up. "Couldn't even give me Corbin. Effing figures."
As he started to disintegrate, Orion called out to him, "Thank you, Shadow."
"You can thank me by not getting me killed too, Damon. Really, that's all the favor I need."
Oddly enough, Orion would settle for that himself because as he headed back to Colossus, he couldn't shake the feeling that something horrible was about to happen. That feeling only intensified as soon as he returned home and his cell phone lit up with Wolf's and then Phoebe's number. The Muppet could wait. He called Phoebe first, but for some reason, he couldn't get through. Weird. So he tried Wolf. Again, no signal. Frustrated, he went through his messages. The first one was Phoebe's hysterical screaming,
"Your father has mine! He wants Eric! What the hell have you done, Orion? What the hell? You better call me as soon as you get this, oh my god!"
Yeah, what the hell was right. He listened to the next one, which was Wolf.
"You motherfucking worthless Damon bastard. So help me, Thor, when I lay my hands on you, there won't be enough left to flush. You hear me? You shit stain. You better call me back right now."
Well, that was certainly not the way to motivate someone to want to dial you back, buddy. In fact, Orion had the urge to lose his phone and change his number. Yeah.
Damn, Solrin, what have you done? Gone for 5 minutes and what? You summoned the Furies and their brats?
Disgusted, he headed for his father's office, but Trathys caught him in the hallway.
"I wouldn't do that."
"What's going on?"
Trathys let out a tired sigh. "He's on a rampage."
"He's been on one for days.
Ever since Eric's birth."
"Yeah, but he's all out of sorts at the moment. He had a conference with Apollyme. I don't know what the goddess said, but he is fit to be tied. We're all lying low for a bit."
Rubbing his forehead, as he listened to furniture hitting the walls, Orion grimaced. "Did he kidnap Jefferson Peters?"
"Who?"
"The heiress's father." Trati shrugged.
"If he did, I wasn't in on it."
"Is that Orion?"
"Run,"
Trati's whispered.
"Just stay low till he cools off. I'll cover for you."
"Thanks,"
Orion mouthed before he vanished. While he wasn't a coward, he just wasn't in the mood for anyone else to shout at him tonight. His head throbbing, he strangely found himself in Zin's cave. Sighing, he sat down on her bed and hung his head in his hands as he remembered simpler times. God, how he missed it. Those nights of lying here with her, of stretching back on her scales while she heated them to keep him warm. In all his life, she was the only one who'd ever really taken care of him. While he loved Phoebe to distraction, it wasn't the same. She was his responsibility.
He was forever worried about her. Sighing, he forced himself not to think about things that were long gone. This was the present. If only he could see some kind of future. But with every heartbeat, that was getting darker and darker, and less likely as a possibility. Orion had done everything he could to get word to Phoebe and Cassandra not to panic. Jefferson was safe. He'd made sure of it. Shadow was guarding him. But his father was in such a state that he didn't dare try a more direct line of communication. Not the way Damon's were dropping. Right now, Stryker was taking a shot at anyone who looked at him cockeyed. And even a few who didn't. His phone vibrated again. Orion glanced at it. This time, it was Shanice. What were they doing? Swapping his number around for shits and giggles? They were about to get him killed if they didn't stop. This was the fifth time Shanice had called. Not the time or the day. Eyes wide, he exchanged an annoyed stare with Davin, who rubbed his back comfortingly. Until his father neared them, the kill them all and let Zeus sort them out expression on his face caused Davin to shrink away.
You ready, Pido?
Always. His father nodded, but something in his eyes made Orion's blood run cold. What had happened? He glanced over to Davin, who looked as freaked out as he felt. For the merest second, he had the thought to go exchange his black jeans and shirt for the armor Zin had made for him centuries ago. And to get his shield, too. With no choice, they followed his father into the portal that was to take them into Dante's Inferno, where Wolf would be waiting with who knew how many werehunters and dark hunters. While Wolf had been told to come alone, none of them were dumb enough to believe for one yocto second that he would. Not while Acheron was alive. He would protect his hunters at all costs. Since Dante Pontus owned the club, they knew the panther werehunter would be there, along with his large number of brothers and cousins. The rest was anyone's guess. Orion took a deep breath and stepped in. Sure enough, as they appeared inside the nightclub, it was loaded for Damon. Hunters abounded. Orion saw Wolf immediately and made sure to keep his expression stone and unresponsive, or else they'd both pay for it. He immediately moved over to the side so that, in case that was his infant son Eric Wolf had strapped to him, he could help protect the baby. His father looked around with an evil, gloating smile.
How nice. You brought dinner for my men. If only everyone could be so considerate.
Several of the Damons laughed. Orion wasn't one of them. But one of the Dark Hunters laughed. A tall, dark-haired one who looked about as crazed as his father had been acting lately.
You know, I almost like this guy, Acheron. Pity we have to kill him.
His father slid a sideways glare to the Dark Hunter before his gaze went to Acheron. The two of them stared at each other without a word or emotion. Orion, however, lost his composure as he realized how many times he'd seen Acheron over the years. More than that, he had a sudden epiphany of who and what he really was and why Katra visited them. Holy shit! Acheron was Apollyme's real son. How had he missed it all these years? His father thought of himself as Apollyme's son, but he wasn't. He was just her adopted child. That was her full-blooded apostolos, the child she mourned for. Acheron was why she sat by the mirror all the time. She was watching over him. Everything was so clear now. Why they'd been called back, the no-touch laws, everything. Orion had to let him know.
Father! It's all right, Orion. I know all about the Atlantean. Don't I, Acheron? No, you just think you do, Stricarius. I, on the other hand, know your every flaw, right down to the one that enables you to believe in the Destroyer while she toys with you.
Orion gave the Dark Hunter leader credit. Bastard just laid it all out on the table better than he could.
You lie!
And his father chose not to believe it. Damn. What could he do? How could people be so blind? Orion didn't understand it. He never would. How, when given all the true, absolute facts, people would still blatantly choose to ignore them all?
Perhaps. Perhaps not.
Stryker turned to Wolf and dropped his gaze to the baby. He cocked his head.
Oh, sweet. You went to so much trouble, didn't you? All of you did. I should feel flattered.
A bad feeling went through Orion. His father was acting really, really peculiar. He glanced over to Davin, who appeared equally concerned. Meanwhile, his phone was vibrating again. He reached to silence it as his father headed toward him.
'Cause that wasn't unnerving at all.
To his instant chagrin, his father draped an arm over his shoulders and kissed him on the cheek. What the fuck was this? Well, it wasn't unusual for his father to be affectionate. He'd never done it right before battle and in such a public manner. Orion scowled even more at the action and grew rigid as he waited for some shit to go down.
Children are the very thing we live for, aren't they?
His father played with the leather laces that held his blonde braid.
They bring us joy. Sometimes they bring us pain.
Was he blood high?
Of course you'll never understand the pain I mean, Wolf. Your son won't live long enough to betray you.
Orion opened his mouth to explain, but before he could, his father slashed open his throat with his dragon claw. Then he shoved him away. Stunned and unable to speak, Orion fell to the floor, gasping, holding his hands against his neck to staunch the blood flow. But it was useless. It ran through his fingers and spread over the floor.
You didn't really think I was stupid enough to fall for this trick, did you?
His father's gaze bored into Wolf.
I knew you would never bring me the baby. I just needed to get the Guardians away from Elysia for a while.
Wolf cursed at his words as he moved to attack. His father vanished into a black cloud of smoke while the daemons attacked.
Akritata!
Asheron shouted. The portal opened. One of the daemons laughed. We don't have to go through. Before he could finish the sentence, the daemon was violently sucked through the opening. The others quickly followed. Meanwhile, Orion lay there, blinded by his tears as he tried to breathe. He had to get to Phoebe. He couldn't die like this. Ash ran across the floor and knelt by his side. Shh. He covered Orion's hands with his own.
Breathe.
Warmth spread from Asheron's hand through Orion's body as the Dark Hunters moved to surround them. With each heartbeat, Orion's breathing became easier, and the pain receded. Until it was gone. Orion took a deep breath as he realized that, for reasons unknown, Asheron had healed him.
Why? I'll explain later.
Asheron stood up and lifted the hem of his shirt until his stomach was exposed.
See me. Return to me.
The baby shot out of Wolf's hands immediately. She turned from an infant into a tiny dragon, then laid herself over Asheron's skin until she became a tattoo. A blonde Dark Hunter snorted.
I always wondered how your tattoo moved.
Ash didn't speak. Instead, he raised his hands. One second, they were in the Inferno. The next, they were in the middle of Elysia. Orion shot to his feet as he ran to find his wife. Horrific screams and pleas for mercy rent the air. Bodies of Apolite men, women, and children lay everywhere. He hadn't seen anything like this in centuries, not since the days when humans used to raid their villages. Phoebe! Orion headed straight for his apartment. Fear tore him apart as every instinct he possessed told him what he'd find, and he was terrified of being right. Why hadn't he answered his phone? Why? And the moment the door opened, and he saw the destruction in his apartment, he knew. He knew. Everything had been torn apart. Their furniture was overturned, the stereo had been ripped from the wall, and Phoebe's records, tapes, and CDs were littered everywhere, as if his father had wanted to punish them for trying to have a life without him. Orion choked on his tears as he tried to come to terms with this moment. With this reality. Life with no Phoebe. It was like the day he'd lost Zen. Sinking to his knees, he threw his head back and cried out in fury. How many times in his life was he going to lose everything? Why? Was it too much to ask to be loved? To have one person he could keep in his heart? One person for himself? Was that really so selfish? Damn you, Asheron! The bastard should have let him die. Why couldn't he have left him where he was? This was so much worse. Phoebe was dead, and it was all his fault. He'd done this to her, caused it. Blinded by tears, he heard the others outside who shared his grief. That, too, was his fault. He'd failed them all. Shaking and heartbroken, he paused as his gaze fell to something glittering among the wreckage on the floor. At first, he thought it was a reflection caused by his tears until he realized it was something else. Something metallic. Phoebe's necklace. Incredulous, he scooped it up and let it dangle from his fingers. This was all he had of her. Such a paltry trinket for a life so vibrant. And yet it was worth more than the Taj Mahal, more than all the gold and diamonds of the earth. Because it had belonged to her. And it was all he had left. He would kill anyone who ever laid a finger to it. That was how dear and precious this worthless trinket was now. Because it was Phoebe's. And he wished himself dead to be with her. Not here and now to feel this pain wrought by her absence. I can't do this without you, Phoebs. He didn't even want to try, because honestly, he was too old and too tired to have one more fresh start in him. He was done with this life, done with trying. Honestly, he just wanted to die and be done with it all. Ash found Orion on his knees in the center of the trashed living room. There was a small golden locket in his hands as the man wept silently.
Orion,
Ash said in a low, steady tone.
Go away,
he snarled. Just leave me alone.
You can't stay here. The Appellites will turn on you.
Like I care. He looked up, and the empathetic pain Ash felt from Orion made him take a step back. It had been a long time since Ash had come into direct contact with so much hopeless grief. He remembered a time long ago when he'd felt the same way, and it staggered him for a moment.
Why didn't you let me die too? Why did you save me?
Ash took a deep breath as he grappled with the past that had once brutalized him and left him a hollowed-out shell. If he could, he would save Orion from that additional misery.
Because if I hadn't, you would have sold your soul to Artemis over this and killed your father.
You think I'm not going to kill him over this?
He turned on Ash with a growl.
There's nothing left of her. Nothing. I don't even have anything to bury.
His words broke off as he sobbed. Ash placed his hand on Orion's shoulder.
I know.
You don't know!
God, how he wished that were the truth. Ash gripped his chin and lifted it until their gazes locked.
Yes, Orion. I do know.
In ways this daemon couldn't imagine. Orion struggled to breathe as he saw images flickering through Ash's swirling silver eyes that were identical to Apollyme's. There was so much pain there, so much agony and wisdom. It was hard to maintain eye contact with him.
I don't want to live without my Phoebe.
His voice broke on the words.
I know. For that reason, I'm giving you a choice. I can't lock onto your father to monitor him. I need you to do that. Because sooner or later, he'll be back after Apollo's lineage.
So what? Orion curled his lip. Why would I protect them now? Phoebe died because of them.
Phoebe lived because of them, Orion. Remember? You and your father were responsible for killing her entire family. Did you ever tell Phoebe it was you? You who killed her grandmother or her sisters?
Orion looked away, shamefaced, as that guilt tore through him. No. I would never have hurt her.
Yes, you did. Every time you, your father, or one of your spotties killed one of her family, she felt the pain you feel now. Her mother's and sister's deaths tore her apart. Isn't that why you saved Cassandra to begin with?
Of course it was. One tear from Phoebe's eyes had always shattered him. Yes! Acheron stepped away from him, while Urien pulled himself together as best he could.
You said I had a choice.
Acheron drew a ragged breath.
The other is that I will erase your memories of everything. You'll be free of all of this, all your pain, the past, the present. You can live as if none of this had ever happened to you.
A blank slate. Thousands of years gone. It sounded so easy. But Orion didn't believe even Acheron had those powers. He knew the gods better than that. Besides, he was tired of it all. Life meant pain. It was brutal, and it gutted everyone to their knees. And he was so sick of this.
Will you kill me if I ask?
Do you want me to?
At the moment, it was all he wanted. How ironic was that? He, who'd taken so many lives in an effort to live one more day, to breathe one more breath, just wanted to finally expel his last and be done with it all. But in this, his weakest, darkest moment, how strange that it was Zin's voice he heard. Remember the precious cost. Damn his dragon for making him see truth even now. Weaker than he'd ever been in his life, he met Acheron's gaze. And damn this son of Apollyme for making him into what he'd become, because he knew that by saving his life, Acheron had turned him into something else entirely. But he had no idea what he was now.
I'm no longer a daemon, am I?
No. Nor are you an Apolyte, exactly.
Then, what am I?
Acheron took a deep breath before he spoke again.
You are unique in this world.
Unique. Wonderful. Just what he'd never wanted to be. All he'd ever wanted was to fit in, and now he stood out even more. How much longer will I live?
Acheron shrugged.
You're immortal, barring death.
Orion curled his lip at what had to be the dumbest answer ever. That doesn't make sense.
Most of life doesn't.
He wouldn't argue that. The gods knew that he'd never been able to figure it out. Orion sniffed and wiped at his eyes.
Can I walk in daylight?
If you want, I can make it so. If you choose amnesia, I will make you fully human.
Orion arched a brow at the most shocking thought of all. You can do that? Ash nodded. Yeah, only one born of a primal power could do that. Born of the light and dark, not even Apollyme had the powers Acheron had. Damn. Orion laughed bitterly as he raked a cold look over Ash's body, and in particular, where the tattooed dragon had gone. He knew exactly what that was and what it meant.
You know, Acheron, I'm not stupid, nor am I as blind as Stryker. Does he know of the demon you carry on your body?
No. And Simi isn't a demon, she's part of me.
With Simi being a Karanti demon, that was an understatement. since they bonded to their master and became a symbiotic life form. Asheron was full of surprises. No wonder Orion hadn't been able to get a reading on him when they'd crossed paths in the past. Orion's gaze bored into his. That I find most interesting of all. Poor Stryker. He's so screwed, and he doesn't even know it. He moved to stand closer to Asheron. I know who and what you are, Asheron Parthenopaeus.
Then you know, if you ever pass your knowledge along, I'll make sure you regret it eternally.
Yeah, he just bet Asheron would at that. Orion nodded. But I don't understand why you hide.
Asheron shrugged. I'm not hiding. The knowledge you carry can't help anyone. It can only destroy and harm.
Perhaps there was truth to that. Just like his powers of healing. Whenever people knew about them, they went crazy for them, and there were limitations to what he could do. And when they failed, it got ugly, fast. So, like Asheron, he kept his powers hidden, for his own well-being as much as for others. Orion winced as he thought back to all the lives of the people he loved who were lost to him. His children, his mother, his wives, brothers and sisters, the humans and daemons he'd killed for the right to continue living. I'm through being a destroyer.
Then what are you?
Orion let his thoughts wander through the events of this night. He thought about the aching pain inside him that screamed over the loss of his wife. It was so tempting to let Asheron erase it all. But with that, he would lose all the good memories he carried, too. Though he and Phoebe had only had a few years together, she had loved him in ways no one ever had, touched a heart he had thought was long dead. No. It hurt to live without her. But he didn't want to lose all connection with her. He fastened her locket around his neck as he realized that, for the first time since he was a boy, his head was quiet. The only voice in it now was his own. I'm your man, Asheron. But I warn you now, if I'm ever given a chance to kill Stryker, I will take it. Consequences be damned. Stryker snarled in outrage as he found himself in the Destroyer's throne room. I was so close to killing them. Why did you stop me? How could you have pulled me back here? Still, the demon Sabine held him back from Apollyme's throne. For once, Zedrix wasn't in the room with his mother. But Stryker didn't have time to ponder the demon's whereabouts. His thoughts were too consumed by hatred and vexation. His mother sat on her chaise completely poised, as if she were holding court and hadn't just destroyed all their years of careful planning. Do not raise your voice to me, Strykerius. I will not take your insubordination. He forced himself to level his voice, even while his blood simmered in fury.
Why did you interfere?
She pulled her black pillow into her lap and toyed with a corner of it. You cannot win against the Electi. I told you that.
I could have beaten him,
Stryker insisted. No one could stop him. He was sure of it. No! You couldn't. She dropped her gaze again and ran her hand elegantly over the black satin. There is no pain worse than a son who betrays your cause, is there, Strykerius? You give them everything, and do they listen? No. Do they respect you? No. Instead, they shred your heart and spit on the kindness you would show to them. Stryker clenched his eyes shut as she voiced the very thoughts inside his heart. He'd given Orion everything. And how had his son repaid him? With a betrayal so profound that it had taken him days to come to grips with it. Part of him hated Apollyme for telling him the truth. The other part thanked her. He'd never been the kind of man to welcome a snake to his bosom. He still couldn't get over the fact that Orion hadn't trusted him, his own father,
That his son honestly thought, after all these years, he couldn't tell him the simple truth. He'd remarried. And now, what had those actions done? Orion's wife had gone trelos and attacked her own commune. Because she was human and couldn't handle it. His son's lies had forced him to commit even bigger ones to protect Orion. You killed him for his betrayal. That was the lie Stryker would live with. Not the truth, that he'd done it to spare Orion from finding out that Phoebe had gone insane. Because that would kill Orion's heart. He knew his son too well. And he'd never be able to watch what that would have done to his boy. The anguish and self-hatred. Stryker was already hated and loathed. Better he remain the monster they all thought him to be than watch his son die slowly from his own recriminations. Orion died for betrayal. Betrayal to the community and to him. And Stryker would never do that to his mother.
I will listen to you, Akra.
Sighing, she cradled the pillow to her breast. Good.
So what do we do now?
She gazed at him with a small, beautiful smile. When she spoke, her words were simple, but her tone was purely evil.
We wait.
Orion really didn't feel like being here. In fact, this was the absolute last place he wanted to be. Muppet's house. But he had nowhere to go. How pathetic was that? 11,000 years old, and he was homeless. Friendless. And the only family he had was this Viking piece of shit. Glorious, just glorious. Even better, he could hear Chris grumbling as he came to open the door to let him and Asheron into the house. Wolf rose to his feet as they entered. He also gasped. Not that Orion blamed him. He knew he looked bad. He was pale, his clothes still covered in blood, and he was madder than 10 liters of hell saturated by demon piss and poured down the throats of a starving Karanti. No doubt all of that radiated in his body language and eyes. The blonde, Armani-wearing Dark Hunter who was seated on their right was the first to recover himself and speak.
We were getting worried about you, Ash.
The surly, dark-haired bastard from the club who had a goatee snorted.
I wasn't. But now that you're here, you need me for anything else?
No, Z,
Ash said quietly.
Thanks for coming.
He inclined his head. Anytime you want me to help rip something apart, just give me a call. But in the future, could you pick somewhere warmer to do it? He flashed out of the room before anyone could respond. The biker blonde covered with Celtic tattoos smirked. You know, it really pisses me off that he's a god now.
Just make sure you don't piss him off,
Asheron said in warning.
Or he might turn you into a toad.
The Celt blustered.
He wouldn't dare.
Armani snorted.
We are talking about Zarek, right?
Oh, yeah, the Celt said.
Never mind.
Armani stood up with a groan.
Well, since I'm one of the few non-immortals in the room, I think I'm gonna head to bed and rest.
The Celt flexed his bandaged arm.
Sleep sounds like a plan to me.
Chris threw the medical supplies back into a plastic box.
Come on, guys, I'll show you where you can crash.
Cassandra stood up with Eric in her arms, intending to follow after them. I guess I should...
Wait,
Orion said, stopping her.
Can I hold him?
She hesitated with a worried frown that he knew he'd earned. He'd barely looked at Eric before this. He hadn't wanted to. Part of it had been jealousy. Phoebe had wanted a baby desperately, and it had been the one thing he'd never been able to give her. Another had been pure unadulterated grief, because when he saw children, it took him back to his youth, back to the days when his nieces and nephews had been born, and they'd been hopeful of finding an end to their curse. Before there had been so many deaths. He hadn't wanted to think about all the times he'd held Jerris and Nephele when they were young, but now...
Cassandra glanced to Ash, who nodded. Her features reluctant, she handed Eric over to him.
Damn. It had been so long since he last held a baby that he almost dropped the little squirmy thing. She actually had to show him how to hold one again.
How could he forget something so important as to hold a baby's head and neck?
But then it had literally been hundreds of years. Lucky for them both, it didn't take long for it to come back to him.
And the smell.
That he definitely remembered, that newborn baby smell. Before the world came and tainted them, scarred them with its brutality and ugliness, taught them to hate and to hurt, taught their hearts to bleed. He would give anything to spare this child the nightmares that were ahead for him, the harsh lessons that would come in the future and bring him to his knees.
You're so fragile.
Orion breathed at the tiny boy who eyed him so cluelessly about the misery this world was getting ready to unleash on him.
And yet, you're still alive,
while my Phoebe isn't.
Wolf took a step forward. Asheron held him back.
Will you stay and guard your family?
Orion snarled at Asheron for a reminder he despised him for. My family is dead, thanks to Asheron and his mother. Asheron's gaze turned sympathetic as he glanced down at the infant in his arms.
No, Orion, is not. Phoebe's blood is in that baby. Eric carries her immortality with him.
Orion hated him for that reminder that made him feel again, made him care when he didn't want to. In his mind, he saw how excited she was every time she talked about Eric and his imminent arrival.
She loved this baby, he whispered. I could tell how much she wanted her own whenever she spoke of him. I only wish I could have given her one.
You gave her everything else, Orion.
Cassandra's eyes filled with tears as she spoke of her sister.
She knew that, and she loved you for it.
Those words broke him in a way nothing else had, and for the first time, he actually liked his sister-in-law. Asheron was right. She was his family. So was this baby. And that stupid Muppet asshole. Orion wrapped an arm around Cassandra and pulled her close. He laid his head down on her shoulder and finally gave in to the tears that had been choking him. Clutching him tight, Cassandra sobbed against his shoulder. After a time, Orion let go and handed her Eric.
I won't let your baby die, Cassandra. I swear it. No one will ever hurt him. Not as long as I live.
Cassandra kissed him on the cheek.
Thank you.
His throat tight, Orion nodded and withdrew from her. He drew a ragged breath and wiped his tears off on the sleeve of his jacket.
What an alliance, huh?
Wolf asked after Cassandra had left them.
A Dark Hunter and a Spati united to guard an Appellate. Who would have ever imagined?
Asheron snorted.
Love makes strange bedfellows.
Muppet scowled. I thought that was politics.
It's both,
Asheron said with a grin. Orion folded his arms over his chest.
Would you mind if I slept in the boathouse?
Wolf nodded.
Sure. Consider it yours for as long as you want it.
Orion inclined his head to him and headed out, trying his best not to think about the last time he was here. With Phoebe. For Phoebe. He'd barely reached it when he felt a strange presence behind him. It was one he knew all too well. He felt his arm heating up as he prepared to hurl a bolt at it.
Now, Ocre Damon, don't be doing that.
You smack the simi and the simi be sad. She not coming to hurt you. I just wanted to come bring you some barbecue chips and make you smiley, because you got the hurts. Now put your arm away.
What the hell? Who are you?
Tall and thin, she stepped from the shadows. Unlike the Karanti he was used to, she didn't have wings or horns or mottled skin. Rather, she appeared human. Dressed in a short goth skirt with striped leggings and a corset top, she was adorable, right down to her coffin pocketbook and tall, stacked heels. Her black hair had the same odd red stripe in it that Asheron's did, only she wore her hair up in pigtails. Flouncing over to him, she took his arm and led him upstairs. You are a Karanti, right?
Of course I am. All the demons are.
Then why aren't you in Colossus? She made an adorably cute face.
Mostly because that see me not visiting Aqua Goddess. That's why, silly.
She opened the door with her powers and let him in. I am so confused. She grinned.
Knows what you mean. The Simi stays confuzzled most of the times. Face it, the world's just a confuzzling kind of place.
Suddenly, Orion felt like an idiot as he realized who and what the demon was. You're Asheron's tattoo from the club. She gave him a look that said he was a complete and utter moron.
Well, yeah. You don't think the Simi would let some old other Karanti come and lay down on her Akri and not eat its head, do you?
From what he knew about Karanti, no, they weren't exactly into sharing. She made him sit on the floor in front of the TV. Then she opened her purse and pulled out two surprisingly large bags of potato chips.
Red meat! White meat!
Pardon? She cocked her head.
Red meat!
She waggled the bag of barbecue chips in front of his face.
White meat!
She rattled a bag of sour cream and onion chips. I've never eaten either. Simi sucked her breath in, as if that were the worst thing she'd ever heard.
That's right, you eat blood! Except you don't know more.
Fanning her face, she danced around excitedly, then handed him both bags.
Open them! Open them!
He obliged her.
Now eat!
Orion wasn't sure about this. Cringing, he held one up to his nose. Simi made a rude noise and popped his hand.
Will you stop? You done been eating on the people. Stop being all finicky. Eat the dang chip. Unlike the people, which don't be getting the Simi wrong, because they's mighty tasty. Them chips is good. Eat it!
He laughed at the demonic tone that somehow managed to be childish. Yes, ma'am. He bit into it and gasped. Holy shit! That's good.
Told you, eat more!
She held up the bag for him. Then she made an adorable noise and dropped it so that she could run to another room. After a few minutes, she came back with several drinks.
Fruitsy, juices, you got so much catching up, Akri Damon.
Simi scooted in beside him and started pulling more snacks out of that tiny purse, then turned the TV onto something called QVC, where she educated him on modern shopping. Why are you doing this, Simi? She lay beside him on the floor with her feet up on the couch. He didn't know why, but most Karanti slept and relaxed like that. Cocking her head, she scowled at him.
Don't you know? Akri Damon?
No idea.
She reached up and touched his chest, where his mark used to be.
You got the heart's sadness. Friends don't leave friends alone when they heart sad.
I didn't know we were friends. She snorted at him again.
Of course we are! That's how you make friends! You see somebody when they heart sad and you walk over and say, it'll be okies, and you hug them and share your chips. Then you're friends.
She took his hand into hers and held it.
See? Friends. The Simi don't bite you. You don't bite the Simi. My friends.
I guess
it is that simple. Huh. Nodding, she tilted her head back to watch more TV. She was still there a few hours later when Asheron came to see him. Only Simi was asleep, which was easy to tell as the little demon came with a giant snore. Cocking his head, Asheron actually lifted his sunglasses up to rest on the top of his head as he studied his sleeping demon.
I wonder where she'd gone off to. This was the last place I'd have looked for her.
She's quite the chatterbox.
Asheron laughed. You've no idea.
Oh, you would be wrong there. Got a pretty good earful tonight. Still laughing, he nodded.
I can imagine.
Clearing his throat, he sobered.
How are you doing?
Been better. Orion tucked the blanket he draped over Simi higher around her chin. But she helped a lot.
Yeah. She has a way of doing that.
Asheron jerked his chin toward the door.
You got a minute?
Why?
There's something I think you want to see.
Unless it's my father's head on a platter, not really. Asheron lowered his sunglasses to cover those screwed-up eyes.
I wouldn't take that bet. Come on.
Taking care to not disturb Simi, he got up to follow Asheron toward the back door. Asheron used his powers to open it so that Orion could see the dawn that was breaking over the water. Out of habit, he hissed and headed for the shadows. Asheron caught his arm.
It won't hurt you. I swear.
His breathing ragged. Orion looked up at him in disbelief.
Really? I swear.
He repeated.
I know you want to see it.
He manifested a pair of sunglasses for Orion and held them out to him.
You'll need these.
Orion put them on and then slowly, carefully made his way to the door. And then to the deck outside. It was a chilly morning, biting, in fact, but he didn't care. His gaze was held captive by the amber rays breaking through the darkness, setting the landscape aglow. In all honesty, he had no idea how long he stood there. A million thoughts spun through his head, a billion memories. But the one that kept playing loudest was the one of him and Paris. Tears choked him as he looked over to Asheron. I wish my brother could have seen it.
I know.
He shook his head. You don't know what it's like to be born with a twin, Asheron. To come into the world with someone.
Actually, I do.
He gaped at that. Pardon?
Not something I share. With anyone. Unlike you and Paris, my brother and I were enemies. He was a selfish bastard who conspired against me. But life takes us to places we don't always want to go, and in directions we never think it will.
Orion laughed bitterly as he considered the understatement of that, given that he was a daemon. Currently living in the guest house of a dark hunter.
But,
Asheron continued,
we all have a choice. Toss the oar and let the current take us wherever, or grab the oar with both hands and fight the current with everything we have. In the end, we all determine what fate we embrace. For we are either pawns or players. The final decision is always ours.
Don't worry. I've no intention of being a pawn. There's too much piss and vinegar in me for that. You may have taken my fangs from me, Asheron, but in my core, I remain a demon forever. Venom was the milk I drank from my mother's breast, and I won't rest until I bathe in the blood of my father. His father hadn't quelled him with his actions. He'd fueled him. October 1st, 2008. Orion was aghast at what he found in the temple housed next to Asheron's in Kadateros. When he'd heard a noise, he'd expected one of the souls to have escaped out of one of the other areas, but this was no shade. This was a man, swimming in the wrong place at the wrong time. "Who are you?" Yet as he turned around in the pool, Orion felt as if someone had slapped him. Hard. For there was no doubt who he had to be. Acheron's despised twin brother. Holy shit, they were identical. Same height, same build, sculpted features, virtually indistinguishable, except where Acheron had those freaky, swirling silver eyes, Styx had a pair of vibrant blue ones, eyes that were the closest shade to Orion's he'd ever seen on another person. Weird. And while Ash preferred to keep his hair long and dyed black, the evil anti-Ash held to their natural blonde shade and wore his cut short. He was also scarred abysmally, and still the defiant bastard had yet to speak. "I asked you a question," Orion snarled. "Do you not understand me?"
"I heard you."
"And?" With a slowness Orion was sure was just to piss him off, he climbed out of the pool and reached for a towel. He dried himself off, then wrapped it around his hips before he closed the distance between them.
"Ask me when you find a new tone, one with respect in it."
Oh yeah, this guy was a douche on steroids. Now all the stories he'd heard about the infamous brother made total sense.
"You must be Styx. So you're not as stupid as you look."
Orion would have made an equally nasty comeback, but he couldn't get over how many scars Styx had on his body. While Orion had more than his fair share, they paled in comparison to the number this man carried. Apparently, Styx pissed off everyone he'd ever come into contact with. Orion grimaced at that roadmap of pain.
"Damn, you're scarred up." "Are we all?"
He didn't comment on that, especially not with his past.
"I was told you'd been put on one of the other islands." "I was."
"Then why are you here?" Styx picked up another towel to dry his hair.
"I like this one better."
Wow, his arrogance was quite a special thing. "Are you always this big an asshole?"
"Are you?"
That was a loaded question, and then some. Orion flashed a grin. "Basically, yes. However, I thought I'd tempered it for you. Guess I'm an even bigger ass than I knew." Styx laughed.
"Then I'd hate to see you on a bad day if this is a good one."
"Yeah, well, according to Ash, I pretty much get on his nerves every 10 minutes.
"If it takes you an entire 10 minutes, I'm impressed. All I have to do is enter his line of sight to wreck his whole year."
Orion smiled. It wasn't often he met someone who could match his sarcasm. He'd love to put this guy in a match with Shadow. He indicated Styx's scars with a tilt of his head. "You must have been a soldier who saw a lot of combat for those."
"I was. And I did."
"Cavalry?"
"Protostratolites."
Orion's eyes bugged at such a prestigious role, especially for someone so young. That was almost unheard of. In fact, he only knew of one who'd done that. "At your..." Oh, wait a minute. Styx of Didymos, Styx?" He nodded.
"No."
"No, what were the odds? Seriously?" Orion sputtered at something that was too surreal to be reality. "How stupid do I feel? I never put the two names together before, mostly because I assumed the Protostratolites who damn near defeated Atlantis was an old man." "Oh, wow," he breathed. "You were a legend. When I was a kid, I extensively studied your surviving war notes and reports and everything written about you. Your tactics fascinated me, but there was so much you left out."
"I didn't want someone to use my strategies against me."
"As I said, brilliant. And if you knew me, you'd know I gush over no one." Stunned and thrilled to meet his hero, Orion held his arm out. "This is really an honor." Styx hesitated, then shook it.
"So, how old are you, really?"
"I was born a few weeks before you and Acheron died, and before you condemned me, I mostly lived on people who deserve to die."
"Mostly?"
Orion shrugged. "Sometimes you can't be picky, but I never fed from a human woman or a child, or anyone who couldn't fight back." Styx held his hands up.
I'm in no position to judge anyone for how they survive.
A deep scowl furrowed Urien's brow. It's strange, though.
What is?
How much you and Asheron favor each other, not to be related at all. Sighing, Styx dropped his second towel, then finger-combed his short blonde hair.
Trick of his mother's to throw off the gods looking for him.
Urien snorted. She did well. I had a fraternal twin brother myself.
Had?
He was killed a long time ago by a dark hunter.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
Urien inclined his head to him as that old wound opened and bled. Thanks. Me too. It's hard to lose a brother, and twice as hard when you're born together. Kind of like losing a limb. Styx snorted.
In my case, more like losing a sphincter.
Laughing, Urien shook his head. What happened between you? I mean, damn, Asheron forgave me, and I definitely didn't deserve a second chance. You don't seem like an outright bastard, and you definitely didn't battle like one. Things you did, you protected your enemy against your own troops, and you were barbecued for it by Greek historians and commanders.
I was barbecued for it by many people.
Now that he knew who he really was, Urien followed him from the pool into the bedroom. He had so many questions to ask, things he'd always wondered about that no one had documented. Really, how often did someone get to interview their hero? So how old were you when you first went into battle? 5?
16.
Styx picked his clothes up and went behind a screen to dress. Damn, that was harsh. My father refused to let us near battle until we were past our majority. For Appellates, anyway. He waited so long it was actually embarrassing. Urien didn't want to think about the times his father literally picked them up and threw them down to keep them from battle. He took a step back and gestured toward the door. Would you like to come up to the main hall with me? Dinner should be about ready. Styx shook his head as he came around the screen.
I'm not welcome there. Asheron would have a fit to find me in his temple.
Urien had forgotten about that small fact. It would be the same as inviting his father to dinner. Yeah, real bad idea. Asheron hated his twin with a special kind of vim. Don't worry, I won't tell the boss man you're here. Stay as long as you want.
Thanks, Urien.
Styx went to hang his towels up to dry. Hey, Urien called. Would you like me to bring you some dinner?
Gods, yes, I'd kill for some.
Embarrassed by the emotion he'd betrayed, he cleared his throat.
Yes, please, I'd appreciate it.
Urien suppressed a smile at Styx's enthusiasm. I'll be back as soon as I can. Though, to be honest, Urien hated leaving him there, alone. If there was one thing he understood, it was loneliness, isolation. And Styx had had more than his fair share of it. Before, when he'd assumed him to be Asheron's villain brother with no conscience, Urien hadn't cared what happened to him. Now he had a face and a history. It made a lot of difference, perspective. Life was all about perspective. If anyone should appreciate that, a former daemon should. After all, his people had been misjudged by everyone. And they still were. It was why Spawn was one of his few friends among the Dark Hunters. He was a former daemon, and one who'd served under his command. They understood each other, and both were ostracized by the rest of Asheron's army. They were the Brotherhood of Misfits. Styx was their newest recruit. Welcome to my madness. And that was what it was, that raw, biting loneliness that never left him, the bitter gut punch that ached through and through. He'd lost both the women he'd loved most, Zin and Phoebe. Life was so bitterly unfair. Why couldn't it have taken him instead? Trying not to think about it, Urien snuck into Asheron's temple where he lived and did his best to act nonchalant. He shared the temple with Asheron, Simi, and Asheron's steward Alexion, who was one of the first Dark Hunters ever created, and sadly, the first to have been killed. And Alexion's wife, another Dark Hunter who died in the line of duty, danger. And of course, Alexion's own Caronte, Simi's sister, Zarina. They and a few peculiar pets made up Asheron's happy home. Aside from the collection of statues in the basement no one ever talked about, and Orion meant no one, as that topic quickly sent his boss into a fit of anger.
You okay, Ori?
Danger asked. As soon as she saw him skulking about, Orion dropped the banana he'd been trying to smuggle out.
Yeah, you?
Always.
Good.
Crap. Why did she have to be so nosy? Hours went by before Orion was able to head back to where he'd left Styx. Though what the man was doing, Orion didn't want to know, as it appeared he was pulling out some kind of nasty seafood grossness to eat. Pushing that aside, Orion set his backpack on the table beside Styx. He frowned at Styx's dinner. What is that? Styx shrugged, then returned the unidentifiable ick to the urn on the table. Orion's scowl deepened as he tipped the chipped clay cup to see the coconut milk in it.
Ew! Really? You were really going to drink this shit?
Ananki du theo mak tonai,
Styx said simply. Orion laughed. Not even the gods fight necessity.
Nice. You said that to your men right before the battle for Aena.
Did I?
You don't remember? I used to use that for my own men to motivate them. It got me stabbed once. Apparently what works for Greeks doesn't work for the spotty daemons.
Honestly, no, I don't remember. And it got me stabbed a time or two, too. Besides, I can't really take credit for it. It was something my mentor used to say to me all the time.
And what would he say about this?
Orion held up a bottle of wine.
Bromateon.
Food of the gods. Orion handed it to him, then dug out the opener and two glasses.
I'm gonna hazard a wild guess that you're a little short on supplies. Would you like me to bring you something?
I can make do, but some fresh water would be nice. It doesn't rain here, and it doesn't get quite hot enough to make a lot of condensation. It's been difficult to desalinate the river water, which I can't figure out why it's salty.
Orion scowled at something he hadn't known about the island. Or Styx, for that matter. Why didn't you stay where your supplies were? Styx dug a fork out of the backpack and sat down to eat.
I haven't received any.
Orion was aghast at the last thing he expected to come out of Styx's mouth. What have you been living on? Closing his eyes, Styx savored the unfamiliar taste. He swallowed and wiped his mouth before he answered.
Clams, mostly. Whenever I can find them. Coconuts, some greens I found out back.
He took a drink of wine, then sighed in appreciation.
What?
Nothing.
Orion grabbed the backpack up. I'll be back in a few minutes, okay? Styx nodded as he kept eating.
Orion, what's this called?
It took Orion a second to realize that Styx was as innocent about the world as he'd been when he was first made human. Damn, that was pathetic.
Spaghetti.
It's really good. Thank you.
Maracalo.
Orion hated leaving Styx alone, but once again he found himself hiding a massive secret from those around him. Weird that this seemed to be some recurrent theme in his life, and he didn't know why. He'd done so much to avoid drama, yet that bitch kept hunting him down just to put stress on him he didn't want. So here he was again. But what else was he to do? He couldn't let the poor guy starve. Styx needed help, and it wasn't in him. Yeah, okay, so maybe it was in him to turn his back on people and not care. Orion was a bastard that way. Yet there was something about Styx that was so familiar. A kinship he couldn't deny. Maybe because he looked so much like Asheron, and he owed Asheron so much. Whatever it was, he found himself back in the temple where Styx sat at the pool with his feet dangling into the water while he stared off into space at nothing in particular.
Is this what you do at night?
Orion asked him. Styx got up and pulled his jeans down.
There's nothing else to do, really. Sometimes I go outside and stare at the moon.
You must get a lot of sleep.
Not really.
Orion couldn't imagine living like this, and he'd always thought his life was lonely. How are you not crazy? Styx snorted.
Who says I'm not?
Touché. Perhaps they all were.
I couldn't take 3 days of this boredom without being stark raving mad.
As far as prisons go, trust me, this isn't so bad. No one's sticking hot brands on me or beating me, and I'm not chained to anything or drugged. Best of all, I don't have to bend myself in half to lie down.
Urien cringed at what he was describing in a monotone, yet the scars on his body said that he spoke from absolute experience. When were you a prisoner? Styx laughed bitterly.
Honestly, in the whole of my extremely long life, I've only spent roughly a high grand total of 14 years where I wasn't in prison for one reason or another.
That number staggered his mind and left him reeling. More than that, it left him furious on Styx's behalf. What the hell? Imprisoned for what?
Being born Acheron's brother? Well, except for when Apollo and the Atlanteans held me here. That was entirely my fault. Turns out gods don't like it when humans defeat them and invade their homelands. Who knew?
Orion had to sit down for a second on that one, especially when he remembered Apollo's reaction the day she'd seen his shield. And Styx would have been just a kid. Where the hell were his parents?
Didn't anyone love you?
He looked up at him. Styx let out a bitter laugh and ignored his question. Instead, he swung his arm around the room.
Did you know this temple belonged to Betania Agriosa, the Atlantean goddess of misery and wrath? The next temple on the right belonged to Epithema, the goddess of desire. She was a royal fucking bitch, vicious, cold, lived to hurt others. It always made me wonder if Aphrodite was anything like her.
He paused as he caught the pained expression on Urien's face as he grappled with trying to reconcile the horror of Styx's life in his mind and kept failing to do so. He just couldn't imagine what this man had been through.
Sorry, I'm not used to having anyone to talk to.
Honestly, Urien wasn't sure what to make of Styx. From what Acheron had said of his brother, he'd expected some arrogant, demanding prick who looked at people around him like they were dirt. The man in front of him was definitely not what Acheron had described. There was no arrogance in him at all. If anything, given that he'd been born a prince to one of the richest kingdoms in the ancient world and had been a young commander of one of the most successful armies, the bastard was exceedingly humble. He had a very quiet, suspicious nature, more akin to Orion's. He reminded Orion more of the gators that called the swamps home in Louisiana. Styx kept his eyes on everything around him, assessing each corner and shadow as a possible threat. Though he seemed to be at ease, there was no doubt he could launch himself at someone's throat and roll them under for the kill before they even saw him move. Yeah. Orion could easily see in Styx the legendary general he'd read about, the one who didn't complain over anything and who had sacrificed and sold his own personal effects to buy supplies for his men. Just the physical scars on his body alone made a mockery of the person Acheron thought him to be. This was not some pampered prince who'd been waited on hand and foot and who expected the entire world to bow down to him. In over 11,000 years, Orion had never seen any man more scarred. Even Styx's fingers and the backs of his hands said he'd lived a hard and harsh life. For that matter, Styx barely had the use of his right hand. Two of his fingers, the pinky and ring fingers, stayed permanently curled against his palm, and the other two didn't fully extend. More remarkably still, there were just 4 scars on his face. And one of them was only noticeable if you paid close attention. He had a faint scar beneath his left eye, one that ran along his hairline across his forehead that was covered by hair most of the time, one that slashed across his right eyebrow, and the one in the center of his upper lip, where it had been forcefully busted open so many times that it had left a permanent divot and thick vertical line. The awful condition of Styx's body verified what he'd said about captivity, as did his knowledge of the temples. As with Colossus, there was nothing left inside any of the buildings here to say whom they belonged to, and not even Acheron knew. But Styx did. And what really screwed with Orion's head was the fact that Styx had been imprisoned for more than 11,000 years. The duration of Orion's long, long life. So he could easily appreciate exactly how many mind-blowing years that was. Alone. He would call the man a liar for that, but again, the scars, and his calm acceptance of Asheron dumping him here and forgetting about him, testified to the fact that Styx was more than used to isolation and neglect, more than used to scrounging for scraps to eat. And all Styx had asked him for was untainted drinking water. Buddy, you get the prize bonus in my book. Orion still couldn't believe how humble a request that was. I brought you more food, Orion said, trying to break the suddenly awkward silence.
It wasn't necessary.
Having seen the shit you had on your plate when I brought in the spaghetti, I'm gonna respectfully disagree. Orion headed back to the other room and, as a trained warrior himself, didn't miss the fact that Styx kept a lot of empty space between them. He also walked at an angle so that he could see if Orion was reaching for a weapon. The way Styx did it, it was hardwired into him. That, too, made a mockery of the pampered prince bullshit. At least until he saw what Orion had brought in a large plastic box, and then Styx relaxed his protocol and rushed forward.
Bread?
He whispered. Yeah, that's the white stuff in the plastic bag. His expression said he hadn't had bread in a long time. Orion imagined he must have looked like that the first time he saw daylight. He stepped back so that Styx would look through the box and see what else it contained. The minute he was clear, Styx rooted through the contents like Eric breaking into his presence on Christmas morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Orion picked up another box that he'd set on the floor. I have your water and more wine in this one, and I put candles and a lighter in here, too. Styx placed the lid on top of the box.
Thank you, but I won't need those.
Orion glanced around the cave dubiously, and that was from a former daemon who'd once called Colossus home. You sure it's really dark in here? Styx shrugged.
I'm used to it. Besides, if Asheron sees a light, there's no telling how he'll react, and I don't want to fight with him. Most of all, I don't want him to take away what little freedom I have.
Damn. For that, Orion wanted to beat Asheron's ass. What kind of bad history did they have? But then, having fought on and off with his own brothers, and even his sister, he understood. It didn't make his brothers or sister bad people, it just made them family. Okay, I'll bring more food after tomorrow. Styx smiled at Orion.
Careful. You keep this up and I won't have anything to occupy myself with.
Orion's phone rang with Cassandra's ringtone, though it could be Eric calling since he'd started using it to update him on his daily routines. Excusing himself, he pulled it out and turned it on to answer. Unfortunately, it wasn't the cuter of the two on the other end. Hey, Cass, is everything all right?
It's fine. Wolf and I had our babysitter crap out on us, and Chris's wife is sick. You know what that means. Big guy doesn't want the kids nearer for fear they might come down with something fatal, and I really would like to have one last night out before the little ones outnumber us.
Orion laughed. Neither their son Eric nor their daughter Phoebe had ever had a cold in their lives, and baby three, soon to be named Tyre, was due any second now, which was why he'd panicked when he answered. His first thought was that she'd gone into labor early.
Sure, I don't mind babysitting. You know that, I love your rugrats. They love their Uncle Uri.
She'd no more than said that than he heard Eric in the background begin chanting,
Uncle Uri's coming!
Then his nephew started a happy war cry that warmed Orion's heart and simultaneously saddened it to a level Cassandra would never understand, as it reminded him of all the other nieces and nephews he'd never see again.
I've gotta go run that one down, Ori. He's off the chain. Love you. See you soon.
Yeah, see you soon. Love you too. He hung up and slid the phone back in his pocket.
Your wife?
Styx asked.
My wife's sister.
So does your wife live in the main temple with you?
Well, that question sucked every last bit of joy and humor out of his year. His stomach tight, Orion reached to touch Phoebe's necklace. No, she died.
I am extremely sorry. I know how hard that is.
While Orion had no doubt Styx had seen his share of pain and then some, the guilt he felt over that night was its own special form of eternal hell that he could never reconcile. No matter how hard he tried, no matter what he did, it all came down to one harsh, bitter truth. I appreciate it, but I had a very special bond with my Phoebe, and she was killed when I should have been there to protect her. Styx drew a ragged breath.
I do know your pain, Orion. My wife was murdered by Asheron's mother while she was pregnant with our first child. And I have absolutely nothing left of them except my memories.
Wincing at the nightmare Styx carried, Orion dropped his gaze to his arm, where Styx had carved two names into his own flesh. It didn't take a genius to figure out who they were or why Styx had done it, and how much pain that man held in his heart to have inflicted that much harm on himself because of it. Bethany and Galen? He nodded.
I had no other way to honor them. I never even got to see their bodies.
He cleared his throat.
You need to go to your family. Don't keep them waiting.
Yeah, if anyone ever understood his pain where Phoebe was concerned, Orion had found him. In that they were joined in a very sad and pathetic brotherhood of misery. What about you? Styx laughed.
I assure you, I'll be here when you get back.
Yeah, he guessed he would at that. Orion gave him an ancient salute that Styx quickly returned, and then Orion left to head up the hill. But with every step he took, he had a strange feeling. Like he knew Styx from somewhere. The man was so familiar to him. He's Asheron's twin, dumbass. There was that, and it wasn't like you didn't obsess over him as a kid or anything. He laughed as he remembered his father banning him from even saying Styx's name in his presence.
If I hear you speak of that dinam,